Silver Streaks Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Kehoe Eye Care. They care for people, not just eyes. By Watson Thomas Funeral Home and Crematory in Galesburg. Celebrating life's legacy. By Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating in Galesburg. You deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill. By Dave's Auto Body in Galesburg. You better call Dave's. By Galesburg Nissan on North Henderson Street, home of the lifetime warranty. By Courtright Construction of Oneida, the right choice for your next project. Silver Streaks Football is also brought to you by First United Methodist Church in downtown Galesburg. By Yem Auto Group on North Henderson in Galesburg, home to Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, and Ram. Say yes to Yem. By RP Lumber, best service, best value. And by Bates Collision Center in Galesburg. We take the decision out of collision. Now, the WGIL broadcast team of Brad Benowitz, Sean Hickey, and Jake Miller with Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
And we'll pause here a moment for the national anthem, and then we'll talk more about tonight's game here between the Streaks and the Moline Maroons. Well, it's sure been an unusual year. I don't need to say that, but it does bring some sense of normality when you got the marching band playing the national anthem, when you got a football game, even if it is, at some point after the vernal equinox. But we're glad to be out here. We're glad to have high school football, and maybe one of the better nights we've had weather-wise and temperature-wise. I show 57 degrees, feels like 55. Jake Miller is always down on the sidelines, and what's your assessment of the weather down from where the kids are going to be in the most important area of the stadium?
Yeah, there's it's a beautiful night, right? It's a perfect night for football. And like you said, we heard the band, and we see the football team is going to run out here in black on black, which is a different look than they gave in our last home game. And it looks very sharp. And Moline out here in white on white. So you've got kind of a dark side versus the light here, a Star Wars theme going on. But, no, it's a beautiful night. There's a little wind. It's not going to be anything that will make any kind of difference in the passing game or the kicking game tonight. It is the warmest night we've had all year so far here in week four. And so it's going to be a great night for high school football.
And I'm going to talk to our defensive guy here, Sean, and just kind of get your thoughts on – you know, what Jake and Marty Turner talked about in the scouting report, this idea that Moline has consistently, through the first half of the season, shown regularly two different offenses, running, passing. Makes it awfully difficult for a team to prepare for a game when you don't know what exactly to do. But at the same time, when you and I were talking, you pointed out it's not unlike what we do either.
Well, yeah, you know, there are times where we could be in double tight wishbone. You know, we have really tight in there, and then we come back and we spread out with one back in the backfield. You know, I've game planned against a Moline team that was like this. We called them Jekyll and Hyde. So you watch personnel, you see which personnel they're putting out there. So number wise, are they putting out position people who are going to be tight ends and running backs? And then are they switching out to guys that are going to have receiver numbers? And so then you plan accordingly. You see the personnel that's going in, and you make your call of what you're going to do. So I think we've seen enough of them on film. Our coaching staff is going to be able to be prepared for that Jekyll Hyde approach. But, you know, also in that pregame report there with Coach, identifying our numbers. You know, we've done very well against the run defense this year. As a matter of fact, we are – second in the conference with giving up 21.7 points a game. You know, and we're doing a good job with that. And so if they're going to do anything, they're probably going to do more. If it's Jekyll or Hyde, but it's going to be probably more of the passing game that we're going to see.
Silver Streaks will kick off. Back to receive for the Maroons. They've got Antonio Richmond downfield.
Short.
And they're going to go short instead and taken by Keegan Nelson across the 25 at about the 27-yard line. And it was just kind of windmilling his arms out there like a center fielder calling everybody off saying, I got it.
He was not very comfortable with that ball in his hand. He not only called for a fair catch, but then he laid down on top of it after he caught it. So it was a short kick, obviously, in the game plan here to keep the ball away from the playmakers here on the back end.
You can never be too sure with
absolutely.
That, with making sure you have the ball there. So, you know, I think right now what we just saw in our first play here, we read personnel. We had a lower number go in for alignment. So I think that we were looking at they're going to come out and pass it. And sure enough, here they are, 3-by-1 with the receivers with a shotgun and one running back.
With Matthew Bailey, the wideout to the near side of the field, the home side of the field. If you listen to our pregame story this morning, he's the one guy that the coaching staff is really concerned about. But the pass goes across the middle of Noah Harrison for a first down up to about the 42-yard line for a gain of 14.
A very common play there against our defense. The one thing that has hurt us, and you heard Sean talk about a 3-by-1. That means three receivers to one side. And right now, the big problem that Streaks have had is guarding that number three receiver, the one closest to the offensive line. And that's exactly where they go on their first offensive play.
We tighten up the free safety here over number three.
Single setback in the backfield with Ponder looking right, throws right, and overthrows the intended receiver. Harrison again at the 45-yard line, incomplete second down.
Lots of defensive pressure there for him to throw around. The Streaks had two defensive linemen up in the air with their hands up. They didn't deflect the pass, but it certainly caused the quarterback to change his arm angle, and that's why he saw that ball inaccurate.
Second and 10, the Maroons come in 0-3 on the season. They lost to Rock Island 41-29, Alleman 20-14, and then last week United Township 49-36 in an up-and-down scoring game. The Panthers have been putting points on the board consistently, and we're going to see them next week. Here tonight, second and 10. Two wideouts, rolling right, Ponder on the run, throws, complete, far side of the field at the 46. Streak stopped right at the spot of the catch. And it'll be third down. The receiver on the far side, Grant Sibley. And it'll be third and about six.
Yeah, cut the they cut the chains in half, as they say, right? You don't have to get it all back on the second and 10. Moline does a very simple flood route out to the short side of the field. That makes a nice, easy pitch and catch for the quarterback and receiver combo. All spread so far here by Moline.
After a gain of 14 on the first play of the game, third and six here from the Moline 46-yard line. Just underway at Van Dyke Field. Out of the short gun, line comes set, short drop, slings it to the near side and overthrows Harrison again. And that was good 4 yards short of the first down marker. And the Streaks defense holds. It'll be fourth down.
You see that, Sean, little NFL concept they tried to rub.
Yep, it was a pick.
It was definitely, I mean, that's illegal, but it's kind of putting the officials in a position to call that. And there was a little pick play, and they had the open receiver as a result, but the pass was over his head.
You know, difference between a pick and a rub, you kind of rub by and you run to the guy.
Yeah.
This guy, he went
this
and
was a pick.
Dropped his shoulder, extended his arms right into him. So.
Absolutely.
Now the referee in the backfield, drops a flag. And they never did get the snap away with Cranston Wall standing back at his 35, ready to punt this one away. Raheem Spinks waiting downfield. The flag not moving a whole lot. It's a little bit of a crosswind here tonight.
Yep.
As the sun drops and casts a pretty good beam of light onto the visitor side with the press box shading much of the field, but inside the 20 on the Streaks end, it's cast in light. This is a short punt by Wall. It's going to drop at the Streaks 40, about the 38-yard line, and then just kind of settles there, and the Streaks are going to have good field position on their first offensive possession of the game, 10:33 to go here in this opening quarter.
Good starting field position, absolutely, for the Streaks to go out there, establish momentum right here. We had a nice stop defensively, and hopefully we can get things rolling. What do you see, Jake?
Well, we're going to come out big, guys. We got two tight ends in the ball game, Kyron Leith with the Gypsy Akko, Alex in the backfield there. Also, you're going to see Michael Thomas, so that indicates
Damian.
Double tight, or Damian Thomas, thank you. Double tight wishbone as the Streaks come out.
with Tristan Legate starting his second straight game. The sophomore hands off on the first play to the left.
We'll take it.
And some nice movement forward across to about the 44-yard line and a big push. And the Silver Streaks, nice little gain on first down. Not easily gained, but well gained by Kyron. And it'll be second and six.
Running the run the veer option to the short side of the field. Again, continuing a trend to, you know, will they be as left-handed tonight as they've been this season? Giving the ball to the fullback, and he makes 4 yards. That's always a good first down play.
Streaks send two wide to the right. Aaron Carl shifts, lines up tight end right. Out of the eye, second down, hand off to Leaf. Couldn't handle it, fumbles. Scramble for it back at the 41-yard line. And Moline indicating they have recovered, and they do.
Yeah, that's one thing that happens in the quarterback-fullback exchange when you're running the option. It looks like Tristan, Sean said it, he's trying to pull the ball, which was the right read. Kyron has it in his gut, and he wants to hold on to it too, and sometimes things get a little discombobulated between the two of them, and that's what happened there. So the Streaks again with a fumble. Hopefully the defense here is going to be able to put the brakes on it and stop the momentum swinging Moline's way.
So first down Maroons in Galesburg territory now at the Streaks 42. Just over 2 minutes gone here in the opening quarter, and already the Maroons with their second offensive possession. Out of the gun. Ponder, straight drop back, looking long, downfield. Man open is Bailey. He got behind the defenders, and he scores. Well thrown, well run. Somebody lost track of Bailey, the number one guy the Streaks are trying to watch out for throughout this game, but he got behind the defensive secondary, and a 42-yard touchdown pass puts the Maroons on top, 46 to nothing.
Yeah, two Moline receivers in the same spot, too, and they were both open, unfortunately, and it goes to Bailey. Just, like you said, just kind of a breakdown. He just ran by our defenders there. The free safety gets there late, and you get the big play after the turnover, and the Streaks, the results in a Streaks deficit early.
Caroline Hazen, a junior, in for the extra point. The kicker puts it up, plenty of leg through the uprights. We saw her as a sophomore last year, and she makes it 7-0 on the point after. 9:43 to go here in the first quarter. Moline leads it 7-0 on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Right there where that giant tree is, that's where I want the garage. And then I want the sidewalk to wind around where those bushes are.
Need site prep, foundation, or concrete? Call Courtright Construction. They understand how pivotal those beginning tasks are. Give them a call for your next project. Courtright Construction of Oneida.
You just crashed your car, had an accident, and you don't know what to do.
Dave's Auto Body.
Nobody covers the Silver Streaks like 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Galesburg Sports.
7-0 Moline. A one-play drive, took only 8 seconds off the clock, comes after the Galesburg turnover. A fumble that gave the Maroons the ball at the Streaks 42-yard line, and one pass play later, the Maroons lead it 7-0. If you remember turnover ratio from the last full regular season, fall of 2019, the Streaks had a pretty good plus-minus ratio on the turnovers. They did a great job of forcing turnovers and taking the ball away despite a 2-7 season as the kickoff goes to Rakeen Spinks at the 15-yard line, scrambling through, weaving through the defense across the 35 and spun down short of the 40 on a pretty good return by Spinks. But this season, it's gone the other way. The turnovers are in favor of the opposition, and Moline takes advantage of one there, and let's see if the Streaks can respond.
And certainly the turnover, there were a lot of things that contributed to the loss last week. The turnover going in the fourth quarter was the big deciding play.
Mm-hmm.
That's something the Streaks need to get cleaned up as they look to come back in this one.
Coach Washabout talked about it in the pregame. I think he called it the dagger.
From their own 38-yard line, handoff to Egyptiaco, dives across the 40 to about the 42-yard line. And a little stretch forward at the end as he got the defender underneath him, and that kept the knee from going down. He was able to reach out and pick up a little extra, sprawling out for a couple extra yards at the end of the play.
Continuing his trend of always finishing his run and falling forward, and it's a bigger deal than it would even seem.
Second and six, rolling right, Legate. Pass open to Cohen Derry at the 50-yard line, complete. and across into Moline territory at the 49 for a gain of 9.
Now, that was a nice timing route, Jake, you know about.
Yep.
But even though he didn't drop back in a pocket, he moved the pocket. It was still a timing route, and the ball was delivered perfectly.
It's nice to roll your sophomore quarterback to the short side of the field. It cuts down the distance of the throw, and all he has to do is throw it on time, which he did.
See if the streaks involve a few more receivers. Now they line back up. Double tight, wishbone, handoff, first man through. Kyron Leith trying to push the pile forward. He'll pick up a couple hard-earned yards on first down to the Moline 46. And he'll be second and 7.
You know, if I was defending the streaks and their option, I would certainly make sure to key the fullback, as most defenses do. The fullback is what has made the money for the streaks in the option game. The pitch is there tonight, and if he can get a clean pull, the pitch is there off the back end.
Now Legate drops back in the gun. Handoff nice. Right up the middle. Egyptiaco steps right, cuts back up the middle to the 42-yard line. And he'll pick up 4 more. It'll bring up 3rd and short for the Silver Streaks.
His field vision there got an extra yardage. In the
yep.
backfield, he made a nice jump cut, went back and was able to get a few more yards. Outstanding field vision.
Brings up 3rd and 3 for the Silver Streaks.
Double
Galesburg
tight
on the season,
nice.
Just under 59%. And a flag, and the Streaks appear to have drawn Moline offsides. And there's the official call, and the Streaks get a first down by penalty. We'll take it.
Yep. You know, Coach Washbaugh, I'm not even sure calls a play when this happens. The Streaks get on the line of scrimmage, and I think it's just set that we're going to try to draw them offsides. If they do, great. If they don't, we reset. Coach calls a play, and then we go.
Back in the wishbone on first down from the 37. Handoff left. Another little cut back by Damian Thomas,
good
and he's
tackle.
Brought down at the 35-yard line. Yeah, looked like he was
going to. Matthew Bailey.
Looked like he was going to squeak free a little bit there and pick up a couple more, but then he got stopped right away.
Yeah, Matthew Bailey from Moline catching the touchdown pass earlier and making a great tackle there on his own against Kyron Leith, and we've seen how difficult he is to bring down one-on-one.
I think that was Damian
Thomas. Was that Damian?
Yep.
Yeah, that was Damian Thomas.
Gotcha.
But he had some green to work with there.
Yep.
Bailey came in a nice play.
Back to 2 wideouts to the left. Legate throws it that direction, almost picked off, intended for Aaron Carl on the run and coming up from the backside, almost taking it away, Trayvon Lee. Instead, he just knocked it down, and the Streaks face 3rd and 7.
Good discipline there. What we've seen so far is they bring Aaron Carl all the way across the formation. He lines up on the right. We're trying to hit him on that cross to the left, and normally he kind of gets lost in the mix, and he's wide open. Moline does a good job defending it there.
And that was a rub there we had from both tight ends.
Yep.
They crossed right at linebacker depth.
Streaks are going to have to earn the 3rd down here, 3rd and 7. Out of the gun again, Legate, handoff up the middle. Patient run by Alex, found a hole, dives forward to the 25 and got the first down, 2 yards past the marker. Boy, he just felt his way up the middle and found some holes.
And you like to see our center, Reed Hawkins, pushing the guy. I mean, he was 8 yards downfield blocking that guy, and that's what was able to spring him with those extra yards for a first down.
Pickup of 10 to the 25-yard line, Streaks 2-for-2 on 3rd downs on this drive, trailing 7-0. Under 7 minutes to go here in the opening quarter at Van Dyke Field. With Egyptiaco lined up to the white, he'll block up the middle and throwing across the middle, Legate just had to get rid of the ball and throws it into empty territory for an incompletion.
Was that tipped or was he hit, Jake?
No, I think he was trying to stop his throw. I think he was trying to go deep to the right side, saw something last second he didn't like and was trying to adjust. Very fortunate there because
right.
A ball across the middle like that usually doesn't fall on the ground as cleanly as it did. So fortunate there for the Silver Streaks.
That was just a wide open zone out there with nobody around it. Streaks change personnel. They'll line up back in the wishbone. After the incompletion, 2nd and 10 from the Moline 25.
Good
fake
keep.
Handoff, now the keeper by Legate to the 20 up the near side, pushed out of bounds, short of the first down marker, out at the 17-yard line. It'll be 3rd and 3.
Yep, the keep is there. They're going to definitely crash hard on. They're going to read the end man on the line of scrimmage, and he's crashing hard on the fullback. And so the keep will be there. And then if you run it to the wide side of the field, you even got a chance to get to the pitch level, which is the 3rd phase of the option game.
That was something Coach Mike Washabaugh thought was there a lot in the Rock Island game last week. But Legate's inexperience, he just didn't recognize it as well as maybe he would with more reps. It is something they worked on in practice this week. 3rd and 3. Handoff up the middle, dragging the defenders. Leith gets close to the first down. It'll be
very
down
close.
Right at the 15-yard line.
Calling it short.
Calling it short, yep.
So now fourth and less than a yard. Where are they going to spot it? Halfway between the hash mark, just short of the 15-yard line.
It's going to be half the nose of the football. I mean, we've got a very short distance here. Usually would indicate just a goose and go here by the quarterback. Molina is very big on the defensive front.
Comes in tight, and Legate keeps it and just leans forward across the 15 to the 14 for a fourth down conversion, and the Streaks keep the possession alive down inside the Moline 15-yard line for a new set of downs.
And I don't know if you saw that, Jake, but the sophomore stood up with a little moxie to him and indicated a first down.
Look at this, boys.
I like that, yeah. Uh-oh.
We got what looks like almost a PAT formation here for the Streaks. Just to try to confuse Moline, maybe get him to call a timeout.
The muddle with two, including a center, and Legate's just going to snap it, keep it, and then trying to roll right, and Moline read it very well and wasn't fooled by it, and no gain on first down.
The numbers are there to run that. We're just going to try to make a little sneak there, but Moline has a very large individual, Caleb Singleton, listed 6'2", 320. And there wasn't any movement on Caleb Singleton, and so that play didn't go anywhere.
Second and 10, out of the gun. Legate rolling left. Has a man open on the far side of the field. Now throws it short of the first down marker, complete, and knocked out of bounds on the far side of the field.
Short of the first down.
Alex?
Yeah, that was
I'm sorry, Dre.
That was Dre.
That was Dre,
Dre.
Chiacco. So it'll be third and one for the Silver Streaks on Dre's first catch of the game.
Third and one here, and definitely in two down territory, definitely within field goal range as well.
Mark it down at the six, and
keep pushing
right
for
up
a first.
The
he's going, he's driving.
Still going close to the goal line.
Short.
Just short, but it'll be a first down for the Silver Streaks. A first and goal on a nice run right up the middle. And just dragging defenders along the way.
Credit the offensive line there. He was first contacted at about the four. And then with his push and the offensive line push, the ball is going to be put and spotted here, first and goal, right inside the 1 yard line.
Yeah, right about the four. You're right. And just moved it forward. Out of the eye. Handoff left. Alex bounces off one defender and stopped just short of the goal line. As he bounced to the right, it'll be second and goal from the one.
Guys, was that an inadvertent train whistle?
I don't know.
I heard.
I heard it.
Yeah, I heard it too.
Did we bring that back? I remember
the old school train whistle when you and I were coaching. Kind of went off right in the middle of the play there.
And
inadvertent.
Yeah.
We had an inadvertent whistle a few times last week.
Out of the wishbone. Handoff bouncing to the right side. Streaks got away with that. Yeah. And Alex with a handoff walks into the end zone
for the
touchdown.
I like to hear that whistle.
Yeah. That was a very familiar sound to Sean and I. Didn't get to play it as much as we would have liked, but we got to hear it then. So, yeah, there was definitely a mix-up in the backfield. I don't know. Somebody went the wrong direction. And, again, sometimes that throws the defense off, too, and Alex was able to really squirt through there untouched.
It looked like cross-lock, didn't it?
It did.
Streaks very quickly come out of the muddle and line up in the traditional PAT formation. Legate will hold. Wren will kick. The snap is down. The kick is up. And the Streaks tie the game. Seven apiece. 4:43 to go here in the opening quarter between the Streaks and the Moline Maroons on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Silver Streaks football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Arby's on North Henderson Street in Galesburg. They'll hang the big hat up on the sign so you can see it. By Lox Roofing and Siding Incorporated. Tackle all your home projects with one call to Lox Roofing and Siding. And by Go Van Gogh's, the T-shirt factory at 237 East Tompkins Street in downtown Galesburg.
There's a split.
Stand by.
93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL and WGIL.com.
4:43 to go, opening quarter. Brad Benowitz, Sean Hickey, Jake Miller here. Will Stevenson, our broadcast engineer. Tie ball game, 7 apiece. Silver Streaks engineer a 16-play scoring drive. 62 yards they take, just under 5 minutes. 4 minutes, 53 seconds off the clock. Alex Egyptiaka with a 1-yard touchdown run, and we are tied at 7. Turn it over to the defense. It's been solid this year. And let's see what happens. Streaks go short again, running up underneath it, taking it at the 15-yard line is Cranston Wall. bounces off one tackle and taken down just across the 30-yard line. And it'll be first down from the Moline. They're going to mark it, yeah, right at the 31-yard line. So 4:38 to go here in the opening quarter, tied up.
Moline yet to try to run the football, right? They've had two possessions. Granted, one was very short. Everything through the air right now. So answering Coach Turner's question so far, at least, as to what Moline thinks they can be successful doing. And here they line up in the spread again. Three receivers to the bottom, one to the top.
Out of the pistol, the short gun formation. Now the Streaks get pressure on. Ponder going long, far sideline. Bailey leaps and drops it. Might have been out of bounds up the far sideline at the Galesburg 35-yard line. Well-thrown ball. And it looked like just another go route. Just beat him downfield. And he was in position, but thrown just a little bit high.
Well, that's our stronger side corner that we have.
Yep.
You know, they went after Rakeem Spinks there. And I think the guy had separation on him, but he closed well. And then the guy was out of bounds and wasn't able to make the catch. So we did something differently, Jake. I don't know if you saw. Put Riley and Cam on the same side. So now we're covering up the trips better now.
Second and 10 from the Moline 31. First running play of the game. Hand off to Riley Fuller, getting to the outside and tackled at the 35. Streaks extended it out, pursued well, held him to a gain of, well, we'll call it 5 as he gets to the 36-yard line. It'll be 3rd and 5.
Yeah, almost caught by surprise there, I think all of us, right, as we've our DBs have been used to getting into a backpedal, and they run a little, I don't know, you can call that the zone read or the read draw, however you want to call it, out of the spread. Very common running play out of that formation, and successful there from Moline. Got to set the edge a little better.
Moline 0 for 1 on third downs. Under 4 minutes to go opening quarter in a tie ball game, 7 apiece. Out of the gun, Streaks show blitz. Rolling right, Ponder protected well. Throws on the run, coming back for it. Complete, and now slipping out of a tackle, Matthew Bailey, and then tackled right at the 50-yard line. Slipped out of a tackle at about the 45, a few yards past the first down marker, and then picked up about 3 more. Actually, one of the officials standing back at the 48. And it looks like that's where they're going to mark him down. Still enough to move the chains, though, a gain of 12.
Yeah, nice timing, pitch and catch there, but we got to scramble to the ball. We got to get more helmets there to help out with that play. Bailey's a big body, you know, and it might take a couple guys to get him down. And soloed up there, we weren't able to muscle him down, but we got to get hats to the ball.
Big thing right now is we've had no pressure on the quarterback, and that's also something that can alleviate some of this, some of the defenders having to stick to those receivers.
3:20 and counting, opening quarter. Handoff again. They go to Fuller again. Cuts back up the middle. Crosses the 50 and tackled immediately at the 49-yard line. A short gain on first down. That Streaks run defense has been solid all year and showed it there. It's second and a long 8.
It's going to be a little different tonight. If they're going to stop the run, they're going to have to do it with their just front 4 guys and their 2 middle backers, because the Streaks are definitely going to have to play with an extra DB tonight, concerned more about the passing game.
Well, the Moline coach also commented in the pregame about the speed of our inside backers, you know, and we need to have them play downhill and trust their reads.
One in the slot left, throws that direction, crossing back across the middle, complete, and Lee taken down across the 40, down to the Galesburg 35-yard line. Sorry, that was Jaheim Thornton. And that's a first down, a gain of 14 down to the Silver Streaks. How they'll actually mark it to the 36. And another first down for the Maroons through the air.
Just a nice quick slant there across the middle. We had one linebacker blitzing, and that vacated a zone. And they found the zone.
86 yards passing already for Alec Ponder. First completion to Jaheim Thornton. And a new set of downs at the Galesburg 36-yard line. Ponder, handoff, Fuller running right this time, cuts up the middle to the 30, pushes the pile, bounces to the outside, and it'll be stopped just short of the first down. Strong pickup, strong run inside the 30 to about the 28, and it'll be second and short for the Maroons.
Just talked about the inside backer play. We need to have the pursuit occur from the inside, inside out on that. We had a nice edge set, turn the guy back in, our inside backers need to be there. We have to bottle that up as best we can. And let those inside backers flow and play, which they can do.
Down to a minute 40 to go in the opening quarter, tied at 7. Second and 2, Moline, and there looked like confusion as Moline was getting lined up. So the Maroons call their first timeout with a minute 36 to go here in the opening quarter. Big things happening at Galesburg High School this weekend. It was a second 4-day week in a row. So, but there's still a big weekend coming up as far as the Galesburg High School is concerned. Sean, I know you're going to talk about that at halftime.
Yeah, halftime. What's good at GHS? We have a conversation with the district director for theater, Mrs. Nancy Dillard. She's also a teacher at the high school. They have a play coming up this weekend, and, you know, they've had a couple already this year, so it's a little bit different. It's not a live performance. It is recorded and then streamed for people to see. So, yeah, certainly we have her coming up and talking about the play. And then we also have our normal weekly conversation with Principal Jeff Houston about testing that we have coming up. We're in the testing series time of year, as well as an update on construction.
The play this weekend, All I Ever Learned, I Learned in Kindergarten. Based on the book. Second and 2, Moline coming out of the timeout. Back to pass. Ponder throwing downfield. Open in the end zone. And the catch is made by Cranston Wall as Moline burns the streaks down deep again for a 28-yard touchdown.
I mean, just ran right by him.
Yeah, nothing fancy.
No.
This was one-on-one coverage. I mean, he was on an island by himself down here. One-on-one coverage and just got beat. I mean, it happens. Xavier Coleman down here trying to defend that pass. The ball was perfectly thrown. The receiver does a great job hauling that thing in.
Well, as soon as a receiver breaks your cushion, you've got to flip your hips and run sooner. You know, I'm not seeing him flipping his hips soon enough to get back into position to cover that.
Caroline Hazen in for the extra point. Moline runs one more player personnel in. The snap, the hold, the kick between the uprights, and Moline takes a 14-7 lead. 90 seconds to go here in the opening quarter. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM, 1400 AM WGIL, WGIL.com, and on your TuneIn radio app.
Remember winter. Were your windows drafty? Is your storm door ready to let the spring breeze blow in and let the light shine in? With top quality energy efficient brands, RP Lumber can fit your style into your budget. Find your nearest location at rplumber.com. RP Lumber, enjoy the view.
Silver Streaks Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by the UPS Store on the corner of Main and Seminary in beautiful downtown Galesburg, and by Bradley Hicks, Century 21 affiliated. Morning, noon, nights, or weekends, Bradley Hicks will help you find your dream home.
Tune in to Cardinal Baseball tomorrow as the Redbirds take on Milwaukee. Coverage begins at 12:20.
Follow the Cardinals all season long on WGIL.
14-7 Moline, minute and a half to go, opening quarter. Maroons put together a 7-play scoring drive, covers 69 yards in 3 minutes and 8 seconds. And the line drive kick down the middle of the field, taken on a good bounce by Drea Gypsyakwa at the 10. To the far side of the field, has some room to run to the 40, to the 50. Couple players to beat, inside, and he runs right past the kicker, and Drea is going to run it all the way back. No flags down, and the streaks tie the game on a 90-yard kickoff return by Drea Gypsyakwa.
Moline does have a disadvantage. They have the kicker who, when she kicks, she immediately runs off the field. So they are defending every kickoff return, and they have all season for the last 2 seasons with 10 people. Streaks found a hole there, and immediately, well, hopefully here, going to tie the football game up.
What a great answer. But, yeah, I don't want to make fun of the situation, but she could barely get off the field ahead of him.
Yeah, he was down there quick.
I'm trying to see who was our blocker there upfield. Was that Damian Thomas?
I think it's Damian.
So Damian Thomas gave a key block that allowed Dre to get that final space he needed up the far sideline. He actually, as we watched the replay, he actually scooped it up at the 8 on a great bounce. It came right to him.
Yeah.
Talk about a fielder's hop right into the numbers. Wren's extra point ties it up at 14, so 12 seconds, and a 92-yard kickoff return by Dre ties it up at 14.
Well, an unfortunate disadvantage of this is that our defensive coaches don't get any time to make adjustments. And listen, Moline's last series, they did whatever they wanted. They ran the football. They passed the football. It was worrisome for defense, and so. Without any time to adjust, I mean, hopefully they're able to get some words into them and to hopefully make some sort of fix to
but
stop
again,
the big play.
Again, Jake, the bulk of those yards came on pass plays, though.
Yeah,
28-yard touchdown pass. You know, they're moving the ball. We got to get better coverage. We can't coach that now. We just got to try to maintain and try to make it suffice for the game.
So a minute 18 to go here in this opening quarter that's already seen four touchdowns scored. And we're not done yet. Plenty of time for somebody to put another one together. As much as these offenses, as much as these teams have been moving it up and down the field quickly. Again, the Streaks doing it on special teams there.
All the numbers pointed to this being probably a high-scoring affair, and certainly that's what we're seeing going on right now.
Ren with the ball teed up, kicks. It's a little bit longer, a little bit deeper this time, taken at the 15-yard line, and the Streaks get downfield quickly, and a nice job pursuing the ball, and the return stopped at about the 28-yard line.
Jay, could you tell? Is that Damian Thomas again?
Yep, Damian's down there.
Been involved in a lot of the action here. Really.
Malloy down there, and yep. he's always down there. And Malloy does a great job on these kickoffs, getting down there very, very quick. John Wren was screaming his way down there as well.
Good for him.
Yeah.
So the Maroons with the ball at their own 28-yard line. As the clouds cover up, the sun is down. In a tie ball game with a little over a minute to go in this opening quarter. Out of the gun, Ponder looking left, swings it to the outside, and a good read defensively. Double coverage there between both Hunter Davina and
Cam McGuire. Cam played that outstanding, read it all the way.
This is a loss of five.
Just running right, try to run a little swing pass out to the outside there, and Cam does the bulk of the work, and Hunter cleans it up.
You know, I think what they saw, what they're thinking about that play was what we'd done last series was we put Cam and Riley on the same side to the trips, mm-hmm. and so that swing pass was kind of open. That time we mixed it up. We did not have Cam and Riley on the same side.
Second and 15 back at the Moline 23-yard line now. Out of the gun, Ponder again. Good protection, slings it across the middle of the field, picked off. And the return to the far side of the field by Javion Beckham. Slips past a man at the 20 to the far side of the field and run out of bounds at about the 10-yard line.
Trying to run a deep post route over the middle. Javion playing center field like you're supposed to. And makes a fantastic play on that ball. Sean read it the entire way. It was definitely kind of tailor-made for our center fielder there to make that play.
It was because, we had a cover two look is what we had there.
Yep.
I don't know if we were in a two-man. I'd have to go back and look at it. But in a cover two, the middle is soft. It's open. But we only had one receiver to our defensive right, and so we were able to adjust to that. He threw that over the middle, and we were there quickly to
hand off left. Alex gets across the 10. And it's going to be first and goal right from the 10-yard line, and Alex is able to dive across the 10 to pick up maybe a yard on the final play of the first quarter. A lot of action, 14 all after one. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Galesburg High School football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Tom Irons at Accounting Systems on South Simmons Street in downtown Galesburg and by Templeton Roofing. Call Templeton Roofing when your roof matters. Learn more at templetonroofing.com.
You saw your driveway. Holy potholes. If you need help in the concrete department, call Courtright Construction. They're concrete craftsmen who have a reputation of exceeding expectations. Give them a call. Courtright Construction, the right choice for your next project.
Galesburg's News. Galesburg's Talk. 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Tied at 14 as we get ready to start the second quarter. Javion Beckham's interception and return to the 10-yard line gives the Streaks an opportunity. Second and goal as we get ready to start the second quarter. Jake, you said the downside of the kickoff return is not many chances to make defensive adjustments. Well, a loss of five and an interception.
Yeah, absolutely. Just, listen, it's that when you put the ball in the air, there's always a chance that something like that is going to happen. So I certainly like our chances with controlling the football, running the football. I don't like a high school quarterback having to throw the ball 60 times a game because you're going to get that result more often than not. So good for the Streaks, and hopefully we can take advantage of here of a short field.
Got to get the clock set here. It's set at 15. It needs to be at 12, and then we'll be ready to run. Second and goal for the Streaks from the Moline 9-yard line. And the Streaks line it up in the wishbone behind sophomore quarterback Tristan Legate. Comes set, fake handoff, rolling right, has a man open into the flat, juggled and dropped. Had Kyron Leith open. He just couldn't haul it in. It brings up third and goal from the 9.
I know he has a primary receiver, and that is Kyron there.
Yep.
But he had both his tight ends sitting in the end zone, both Aaron Carl and Hunter Davina. But he would have to go back and look across the body and across his formation to get to those guys. So, you know, something that, again, they'll check it. They'll see it on film. They'll show it to him, and it's something for him to learn from.
I'll line it up in the gun now. High snap, handoff up the middle. Alex cuts to the left, dives inside the 5, down to the 3.
Decision time.
And it'll be fourth and goal.
Decision time here. We've got a kicker that's been very accurate this season, and it looks like we are going to run John Wren out there. That doesn't mean we're going to kick it. As you know, the Streaks have lots of different things they can do. But it certainly looks right now that the Streaks are going to line up for a traditional field goal. It'll be 20 yards on the button here from the left hash, basically.
Wren had an extra point attempt blocked in the Rock Island game last week. This is his first field goal attempt that hopefully will count. It's good, right between the uprights. He had one earlier this season, but a penalty allowed Mike Washabaugh to decline it, and then the Streaks ended up scoring a touchdown in the Geneseo game. So that's Wren's first official field goal of the season of 20 yards, and the Streaks lead at 17-14.
He had to kick the laces there, and that's why he saw kind of a funny spin on that thing, but he was able to guide it through. 20 yards is the traditional distance of a PAT, so there really was no difference, the difference only being he had a weird angle.
The angle, yep.
You know, you got to kick from that left hash, and in high school football, the hashes are very wide. Much wider than you see on a college and a pro field. So the angle sometimes is a little bit goofy, but he got it knocked in.
Well, we talk about special teams, right? Special teams being the third aspect or a third of the game. So our special teams so far tonight have put up 10 points. We had a kickoff return. We had
Absolutely.
A field goal. So that there's 10 points right there getting the what we need out of our special teams as well as an interception. So, you know, I always say if you get a special team score and a you know, defensive score, you're going to win.
Both teams convert
nice kick.
Turnovers into points. A 20-yard field goal for the Streaks, and now the kickoff taken at the 8-yard line. Now Wall trying with a big return, cuts all the way to the far side of the field, and the Streaks pursue him and take him down to the 30.
That was a nice open field tackle. Who was that, Xavier?
24. Wait, we don't
have
the 24. It's 23. It's Xavier.
Xavier,
yep,
okay.
It was Xavier.
So 11:05 to go, first half, 17-14. Streaks with their first lead of the game. Moline begins this drive from the 30. A play for negative yardage and an interception on Moline's last possession. Now moving left to right. Out of the gun, Ponder. Team comes set. Goes with a handoff. Fuller trying to bounce to the outside. He gets the edge to the 35. Sprints forward. Dives across the 40. And gets the first down on a gain of 11.
Bouncing that play outside. Again, you know, we've talked about it a few times tonight. The Streaks got to do a little better job of getting that edge set. And then when they do, they of course, need linebacker flow to make the play as well.
Right. And that was Riley out there on that play. He did not get the contain. And so it's hard for you. You can't expect your inside linebackers to flow out to the numbers. Your Riley has to set that edge, turn the running back in so the linebackers can flow and make their play.
Just over a minute into the second quarter. Moline's fourth offensive possession of the game from the 40. After a 10-yard gain for first down, rolling left, Ponder looking to throw, does so, man wide open, Thornton far side of the field, tackle made inside the 25, close to the 20-yard line. Javion Beckham with a touchdown-saving tackle, but Moline with a big gain of 40 yards.
Nice little post-corner route and a great throw. The quarterback rolling to his left, making that corner throw. It is not an easy throw for any quarterback to do, let alone one going left in his high school, in a high school game.
Thornton's second catch of the game for 53 yards. Alec Ponder, 149 yards passing, 2 touchdowns and an interception. On a first down from the Galesburg 20. Out of the gun again. Handoff Fuller left. Streaks get some penetration in the backfield. Pursue him and take him down. I don't think he ever got back to the line of scrimmage. Looks like Jayshon Parks was the first man through. And they'll officially mark it as no gain.
I don't know. That looked like a pretty generous spot with that. But a good penetration there.
The loss of a yard. Okay.
Streaks running an extra off defensive lineman into the game, taking one of their DBs out. Cam McGuire out. Looked like Jeremiah Morris into the ballgame.
Second and 11, Moline. Two wideouts right, two wideouts left. Ponder rolling right. Man-to-man coverage. They go for Bailey downfield. Got some separation and just off his fingertips. Overthrown a little bit, but he got a step and then separated from Rakeem Spinks, but the ball falls incomplete in the end zone.
Just enough pressure from the Streaks defensive line there to force Ponder from the pocket and thankfully make the throw just a little bit inaccurate over the hands there of Bailey.
Well, he's got a size advantage, too, on Rakeem.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, you have to be physical. I want to say maybe around the 10 or 5, we saw some pushing and shoving that was going on. And hopefully Rakeem was more physical there enough to slow the guy down. There's no flag. I think it's a good no call, let him play. And hopefully we were more physical in that play.
Third and 11, Moline. 1 for 2 on third downs in this game. Trailing by 3, 9:45 to go first half. Back to pass. Again, slinging to into the corner. Thornton this time open, makes the catch for the touchdown. Wide open in the end zone as he got outside of two Galesburg D-backs downfield, and Moline regains the lead at 20-17.
Another corner route. They had Bailey running the post route as kind of a, I wouldn't say a decoy there, but the combination is if you run a post on the outside, you run a corner with your inside receiver, and Ponder chooses to throw to the corner that time.
Third catch of the game for Jaheim Thornton, first touchdown. And in for the extra point, Hazen. Snap a little bit low, contained nicely by Ponder to scoop it up, and she boots it through. Moline up 21-17, 9:41 to go here in this first half as the teams continue to move the ball downfield. Big plays, exactly what Coach Mike Washabaugh said. The team could not afford to give up. They've given up big plays in every game, and the big plays have really hurt them here tonight, now trailing by 4. A 70-yard scoring drive. And they moved it downfield in just 5 plays. And only a minute 24 off the clock.
They're finding ways, too, to get the quarterback on the move. You know, I think Hunter Davina is winning at the line of scrimmage, making pressure, and Aaron Carl, too. I just think the quarterback is doing a great job of getting the football out of his hand. They're moving the pocket a lot, and right now Streak's pressure has been a little ineffective in terms of getting the quarterback off his spot and making him make throws on the run.
All right, let's see what Moline chooses to do here on this kickoff after Drea Gypsyaka returned at 92 yards. For a touchdown, will they choose to keep it short this time? And they squib it down the near side of the field. Juggled, falling back for it. Riley Hickey and Rakeem Spinks both contain it at the 27-yard line. And that's where the Silver Streaks will take over. So definite change of strategy in the kickoff. And the Streaks, let's see what the offense can do. Can they respond now down by 4? 9:39 to go here in the opening half. So this game may end up with 100 points total on the board by the time we're all said and done.
Yeah, and hopefully we're on top. Yeah,
certainly hope you bet the over in this one, because right now that's the direction it's going.
Streaks line it up tight. Hand off to Alex. Bounces back with a little cutback right. Tackled at the 30-yard line for a gain of 3.
We're seeing more things this game that we out of shifts from our tight ends. We haven't seen much of that this year. In that play there, Jake, we saw two tight ends mm-hmm. that shipped across the formation, which really gave us an overload look.
The Streaks substitute out now down to just one tight end in the ball game, and he's going to line up more in the sort of a wing back position, two receivers top.
Out of the gun, Legate rolling right. Has a man open far side of the field. Caught and then stopped immediately with the catch made at the 30. And it'll be really no gain out of that.
Alex Boffman on the reception.
And it'll be 3rd and 7. And he had no chance. He was hit as soon as he caught the ball and really just did a nice job to hang on to the ball. So 3rd and long for the Silver Streaks, who have 18, 46, 55, 64, less than 70 yards of offense. in this game. They need seven here for a first down. LeGate looking long into double coverage. Moline got hands on it, batted it out of bounds, and it's incomplete, bringing up fourth down. And exactly what the Silver Streaks did not want to do was give the ball right back very quickly.
Yeah, and everything besides the first down play that was, you know, a three-yard gain, everything then after through the air. Tristan there just late with that football. Set up, patted the ball, and you know, took a couple steps, made a good strong throw, but unfortunately Moline's defense was able to recover onto the receivers.
Well, we had two receivers within 3 yards of each other in the sideline too, so somewhere in that the routing was wrong.
A high snap, Davina gets a good leg into
nice
it.
Punt.
High kick will allow the coverage to get downfield. Then it takes a Moline bounce, hits at the 41, and squirts backward to the 45, forward for Moline to the 45, and the Maroons are going to have good field position with 8:10 to go in the half, leading 21-17. Well, the defense has struggled tonight, to say the least. Got to step up here, and really it's been the passing defense. The run defense continues to be fairly effective, 27 yards on the ground, but 170 through the air for the Maroons. And they'll have it at the 45 here with 8:10 to go in this first half. They keep it on the ground to Fuller. Tripped up in the backfield and falls down for a loss on first down. Got tripped up by his own lineman. And it'll be second and 11.
Aaron Carl will be happy to take that tackle as being the nearest streak.
Mm-hmm. No freshman game tonight, again, if you're just joining us. Second week in a row that the Streaks' opponent has been dealing with some COVID protocol. So another week off from a game for the freshman. Second and 11 here. Moline leading 21-17. Slings it to the outside. Pass made by, or catch made by Harrison, and a good open field tackle by Rakeem Spinks. Takes him down at the 48-yard line. Still goes as a gain of five, but it could have been a lot more.
The Streaks rallying to the short passing game very well. It's been the shot play or the deep passing game right now, given the Streaks problems.
Gain of five. Harrison was a target early in the game. Second reception there brings up third and six for Moline from the 49-yard line, leading by four. Three wideouts to the left. Handoff goes to Fuller to the short side of the field. Slips a tackle and then taken down right at the marker. Knocked out of bounds at the Gelsberg sideline at the 45. And I got to believe that's going to be a first down. The chains are all the way on the far side of the field. The referee eyes it. Still hasn't made a decision. Still eyeballing it. And they are going to call out the chains.
Hey, look at that.
We just commented last week?
First time all year we've seen it.
You just don't see this anymore.
No.
But with the chains all the way on the far side of the field, of course, you got that little crest in the middle that you got to look over.
Not like what it used to be in the old field.
Oh, yeah.
It was almost
the crown.
Like,
the crown. Interesting. Yeah, but, this game isn't, you know, it's going quickly enough. I'm sure that they can stop and take some time to run these guys across the field and get this measurement here.
6:42 to go in the half. Chain gang comes all the way from the other side of the field. We can't see anything from up here with the Gelsberg players, and it's short by 8 inches or so. With Moline in Gelsberg territory at the 45-yard line, got to believe that they'll just go for it here, already leading by four. Especially after their defense held the Streaks to a three and out on the last possession. So let's see if the defense can come up big here and turn this possession around.
Their timing routes have been successful tonight for the Maroons. This would be an opportunity here to hit like a four-yard route, probably what they're looking for. We'll see if the quarterback goes under center.
Streaks opponents just 1 for 5 on fourth down attempts this season. This is literally a fourth and inches with the nose of the football sitting right on the Gelsberg 45.
Watch for the Streaks to stem here.
Coming up tight. They go to Bailey for the quarterback here. The Streaks jump.
There it is.
And there Moline jumps on the right side of the offensive line. You called it, Jake.
Yeah, this is something, and Coach has talked about it too. Sean and I have watched Alleman do this to us a whole bunch of times. And the defensive line stems right before the snap count. And more often than not, especially with Moline with a very young offensive line, you get one guy that'll just get a little antsy and he'll jump. And so a fourth and inches turns into a fourth and five, and out comes the punt team.
You have to game plan for that at some point. You think you got to know that that's going to be coming, but it gets them every time.
Cranston Wall into punt, gets it away. Kind of a dead ball, just
Knuckler.
Hangs up in the air. Yep, and then it takes a big Moline roll
effective.
Down at the 22 and then rolls, scoots all the way down to the 15 and out of bounds. So the Streaks defense does hold. 6:34 to go in the half. They get the ball back down 21-17 as the we continue to see frequent changes of possession here tonight. Short scoring drives, a long kickoff return, short possessions on some three and outs, and now the Silver Streaks have it at their own 14, down 21-17, 6:34 to go in the half.
Yeah, you talk about a lot of people going in and out, just freewheeling guys back and forth on both sides of the ball. It's been a very busy first half of offensive possessions for both teams.
Streaks bring it in tight. Single setback lined up behind Legate. Goes to him. Hand off, and it'll be a loss on first down. Trying to go to the right side. And the Moline defensive line got in there for penetration. And there just wasn't much room to run there.
Yeah, just
for Alex.
Met right at the line of scrimmage there. And Alex still falls forward to do a good job. And they're going to spot it right back at the original line of scrimmage.
That's pretty amazing. He got back to there.
The Streaks come out wide here with three receivers. And we're going to switch that up. Still three receivers with a tight end on this side, though.
Yep.
Dre Egyptiaku shifts, lines up wide right. Legate rolling left, though, has a man open. Cohen Derry at the 20. The pursuit was there and taken down immediately by Antonio Richmond. Catch made at the 20. So they get six of it back, and now it'll bring third and four.
Yeah, that's a good job of cutting the sticks in half there. A nice little timing, pitch and catch, something they've probably run 100 times this week alone to try to get the timing of that. Now the playbook opens up. Third and a short four. The Streaks come out, and they're showing tight end to right side in the Wishman formation.
Hand off right.
No, he kept
that's
it.
A Legate on the keeper rolling right.
He's going to be
gets
short.
A couple, but not enough. Got to the outside and then cut forward, but he only picks up two to the 22, and it'll be fourth and two, Silver Streaks. 0-for-3 on third downs here in the second quarter.
Change of personnel here, so it looks like we're going to be punting the ball.
So back-to-back, three and out for the Silver Streaks. Davina back at his eight.
Moline has nobody back to return.
Good snap. Davina gets into it and goes low. He's going to try to get this one to roll downfield. It checks up a little bit, then shoots down inside the 40, rolls down inside the 35, and the Streaks will down it at the 34-yard line. And I think Hunter certainly must have recognized that, don't you think? The angle of that punt was just an effort to keep it low and let it roll.
Yeah, kind of drive it knowing that nobody's back there to pick it up. That's certainly an advantage as a punter. You know that it's going to – wherever it goes down is where it's going to be.
So 4:28 to go. First 21-17, Moline on top. Maroons back on offense. Ball will be at the 35-yard line. So teams exchange, defensive stops. Now coming set. Ponder the handoff left. The
nice
cut
hit.
Up the field, big hit. And then bouncing off it, Fuller squirts forward for another couple of yards. So he took that hit, kept his feet, and gained a couple. Now that was not Fuller. That looked like Aubrey Threat.
Yeah, Threat.
His first carry of the game. Thought we might see Moline mix it up a little more out of the backfield. He is the first player other than Fuller to carry the ball. Second and eight, Moline. Bailey lines up wide to the right. In man-to-man coverage against Spinks. Rolling right, Ponder looking that direction. Bailey comes back. He goes long. Rockeen is there. Got a hand on it and knocked it down loose. It falls incomplete. Thornton, the intended receiver. Rockeen went up. He had much better position for it. He just couldn't haul it in. It's third down.
Yeah, I'd like to see him, Sean, I think, stay in his back pedal just a little bit longer, and I think he can go up and tip and actually catch that thing. Mm-hmm. But he makes a great play there, forcing Maroon into a third and long.
We had nice coverage. We had a cover two look on that.
Yep.
It looked like, in all truth, as it ended up, it may be a cover four because Riley was deep there with Rakeen, and we had the underneath covered well in the flat.
Yeah, I think so. Just trying to limit the shot plays here.
3:44 to go, first half, 21-17. Moline screams, dropping back, throws it, batted away, and picked off by DeVina. And the is the quarterback who finally takes him down. DeVina threw with penetration, batted it, intercepted it, and the Streaks have it down at the Moline 11.
Hunter DeVina is right in the quarterback's face trying to bat that ball down, and he bats it to himself.
Threw it right to him, right to his hands. I mean, that's the type of play where I always say about a lineman, when you see a football on a carpet down, like a fumble, that's not a football. It's a cheeseburger. It's a steak. You go and you get that thing because you want it. That ball was right there, right in his hands. He grabbed it and carried that quarterback, I don't know, 10 yards.
Silver Streaks have it at the Moline 12-yard line is where the spot is made. Trying to turn a second turnover into points. Hand off to the right side. Lee falls forward across the 10 to the 9-yard line. As he carried the defender, rolled him over, and the Streaks can get a first down at the 2. This will be second and about 7.
We see Moline defending the option game better than any of the Streaks' first 3 week opponents. They've done a good job tackling the fullback, but honestly, again, 3.5, 4 yard gains every time is a win.
Absolutely, pretty good. And I think we're having good penetration in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Out of the gun of the gate. Hand off to Egyptiaco. Alex up the middle to the 5. Carries the defender forward close to the first down marker. And the ball came out. And Moline saying that they have recovered it. The referee comes in to check it out. And the Moline Maroons do get it back. So the Streaks get a huge turnover on an interception. They get it down to the Moline inside the 5. And for the second week in a row, a fumble inside the 10-yard line denies the Streaks a scoring opportunity.
Alex just trying to fight for extra yards. You're not going to be not going to fault a kid for doing that.
Nope.
Moline's piling them up there, and unfortunately, they were able to take it away.
Hey, we were just talking about the middle being softer. We ran it there, and anytime you run inside, you got to have some ball security. We are scrambling here on defense.
Yeah, Streaks got to get there. So yeah, might wash the ball. Calls timeout. Where exactly did they spot that ball? Just it's outside the 2.
No, it's just outside the 2, guys. Okay. Yep.
So the Streaks call timeout. Definitely were not set. Definitely did not have the personnel on the field. So 2:51 to go. First timeout called by the Streaks. Trailing 21-17 and missed a big opportunity there. Now, we saw the team facing some pretty rough adversity last week, and Coach Washabaugh was able to get them settled down, to get them to play the down, play the next snap. And they did a nice job recovering for the most part last week, despite the losses. And, of course, I'm thinking about the controversial Rock Island possession right before halftime. And he uses a timeout here, get the personnel squared away, get everybody back on the same page here.
You know, and Alex is a gamer. He's going to hopefully flush that from his system, get ready to go for the next offensive series.
Out of the gun, Ponder. He'll throw it from the end zone, complete to the 10, and dragging some defenders forward for a first down on the far side of the field.
One of the effects I think you see of all these big shot plays is the Streaks are definitely going to play softer on these receivers. I think they have to. And so you'll get those little, 6-8 yard hitches. They'll be there. And if the Streaks can continue to rally, I would dare Moline to continue to do that the entire game.
Pass is complete to Blake Wiley, his first catch of the game for 11.
But, Jake, as soon as they do that all game, then they're going to pop one deep on us,
Yeah.
Trips to the right, 3 wideouts. Out of the gun. Ponder looking that direction, going to throw long. Gets hit right as he throws it. And Rakeen right there at the 50 goes right through his hands, incomplete. Like a center fielder chasing down the ball toward the wall, the ball came right over his shoulder and right through his hands, incomplete. Second down, Moline at the 13.
But we're seeing Silver Streaks defenders now on these deep balls in the right spot, right, which is an adjustment that we didn't see for about a quarter and a half. Always getting beat. Now we have our guys there. They're at the position of the reception.
And it does look like a cover four. We have you know, four guys deep. They're reading what Rakeem has there, and he has Riley Hickey helping over the top. It's good coverage.
They'll keep it on the ground to Fuller. Stumbles at the line of scrimmage. That slowed him down, and the Streaks are able to chase him down from behind for a very short gain, if any. And now the Streaks call a timeout with 2:12 to go. With a third and long upcoming, trailing 21-17, and now thinking about a big stop here.
Yeah, what could be extremely important in this stop, and what I was going to say before we unfortunately gave it back was that we can score here if we can get a score and a stop and then a score here, and we get the football back
right
out of halftime. That you get that 2-for-1, and in a game like this where teams seem to be going kind of back and forth, that can change everything, right? You don't want to be in the position, as Coach Washbaugh talks about it, as, you know, you don't want to be chasing points. And we're not right now because we're only but that is definitely in the back of his mind here.
I'm going to go back to that last play we had there. It was an outstanding play by Aaron Carl. Maintained the contain on him, tracked the guy down, held him for, you know, no gain. And so here we are with 2:12 left, third and 10.
Thanks for being with us here on WGIL, Galesburg Radio 14. Brad Benowitz, Sean Hickey, Jake Miller from Van Dyke Field, 21-17 Moline. Maroons with the ball, third and 10 at their own 14-yard line. Out of the gun, coming out of the Streaks' defensive timeout, Alec Ponder with the snap. A flag flies as he gets slips a tackle in the backfield, comes out of it, throws complete to Bailey at the 30, tackled at the 37-yard line where the play comes to a stop. And let's see what the flag is. Came from the side judge.
This is the area of like a false start, like a, perhaps a receiver wasn't set or started leaning.
I think they lined up incorrect, to be honest.
Be the
I think
case
they
too.
Had a guy covered that didn't need to be covered. It negates what is a fantastic play by the quarterback, Ponder, to get out of the grips of Hunter DeVina, which is not an easy thing to do, and to find Bailey sitting down in the zone like that.
Conversation among the referee and two of his crewmates at the 20-yard line. Kind of a long discussion here.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Yeah.
They're probably discussing the number of guys that may have been in the backfield. How many guys did we see in the backfield, and do we have too many guys on the line of scrimmage?
So now we're calling in another official.
If so, then we have a legal man downfield.
2:03 to go is where the clock is showing with a 21-17 Moline lead. So four of the five officials are out there talking this over. Yeah, couldn't have been a false start.
No.
They would have blown that one dead right away.
Coach Washbaugh was right on the official, too, in his ear, maybe like helping the official identify something. That's one of the unique COVID rules, is our coaching staff can go much further down the field.
Right.
I think they're going to wave it.
Looked like it, didn't it? The referee just stuck his hand and kind of twirled his finger in the air. So he's facing the press box.
He's going to wave it.
So the official, the official who dropped the flag comes over and picks it up. He doesn't do the wave off signal. He just picks it up, sticks it in his pocket, and it's a first down for Moline. So a huge third down conversion gives the Maroons a new set of downs up at the 37-yard line after a gain of 24. And that's got the crowd grumbling here on the home side of the field.
Well, no explanation. I don't know. I mean, obviously they picked it up. They waved it off.
First down, Moline. Short drop, slinging it to the far side of the field. Complete there, and another first down for Moline up to the 50 into the hands of Blake Wiley, who just had his first reception of the game a moment ago. This one takes it to the Galesburg 48-yard line for a gain of 15 more.
Talking to a couple coaches up here, guys, it was a number of linemen on the line of scrimmage. The Streaks contending only six on the line of scrimmage, which is a penalty.
Flip. That ball is tipped by Hunter.
Yep, and falls incomplete at the 45. Stops the clock with a minute 39 to go, and Moline does have two timeouts remaining with this four-point lead.
I think one thing maybe that they're looking at, guys, if you look at Moline, their right tackle has been on that edge of being maybe a little bit too far back. If you watch him line up here, he's definitely the furthest offensive lineman back. If he goes back far enough, you count him in the backfield. Here a little bit better.
Second and 10, Galesburg side of the field now at the 48. Out of the gun, Ponder, pressure from the near side, throws it away into double coverage. Bailey goes up over the top of Spinks, and then the ball falls incomplete.
Nice battle there. Very physical between, we talked about this before, Bailey and Spinks going after the ball. Both had hands on it, and Rocky made a nice play to dislodge the ball out of his hands.
Sean, one thing, and I haven't watched here, but it looks to me like Rockeen has been traveling with Bailey a little bit, maybe not on every possession, but I've seen Rockeen on both sides of the formation. Looks like here he's going to stay. But Rockeen definitely being one of the streak's top defenders. It seems to be, I like his chances stuck on Bailey as well as anybody's.
And Bailey comes out to this side of the field where Spinks gives him about 10 yards. Here comes the snap on third and 10 from the 48. They keep it on the ground.
Close.
Across the middle to Fuller. Pushes the pile forward to the 42-yard line. And that'll be about 4 yards short with a minute 20 and counting here in the second quarter of a four-point Moline lead.
I think that was definitely a time-conserving type play there for Moline. I really think they're going to let this thing run down and they're going to punt this thing away. I could be wrong, but I certainly, the way it looks, nobody's in a hurry right now.
No, they sure aren't.
Yeah, we're stuck here. If we call a timeout.
Yeah, then we don't have anything left.
So, yeah.
I think this is probably a smart move on Coach Morrissey's part.
Well, with their ability to go deep, I don't know what they're going to do here.
Maybe they'll run it down and still go deep with one play.
One play. Yep.
So there's the timeout called with 41.8 seconds remaining in the half. Fourth and four Moline at the Silver Streaks 42-yard line. Again, coming up at the half, Sean Hickey's What's Good at Galesburg High School interview, visiting with the fine arts director, the theater director for Galesburg High School, Nancy Diller, talking about the play coming up tomorrow. And the play, if you're familiar with the construction going on at the high school, won't be at the high school. They'll perform that at Northwoods Church just across the street. All I ever learned, I learned in kindergarten. 6:30 tomorrow night, and we'll hear Nancy tell us more about the play and Jeff Houston as well talking about, what'd you say, Sean, primarily testing, the testing window that the high school is
in right now, and a construction update.
That's coming up at the half. We're 41.8 seconds away. Now Moline lines up in punt formation on fourth and four. Now a couple players pop back up, looking around.
Yeah, hasn't
and
blown in yet.
Now the official blows the whistle. The snap is made. The kick is away by Wall. Goes up high. Spinks backs up. Watches it bounce at the 10 and squirts into the end zone on two hops. And 34.1 seconds remains with the Silver Streaks having the ball at the 20. Down by four. This game's kind of settled in after a lot of action early on. A lot of scoring through the first, 15 minutes of the game. In the last nine, not quite so much.
Well, and look at the adjustments we've made defensively with our coverage, and we've been much better downfield with the coverage. Very physical on the outside. We've seen Rocky Spinks physical a couple times with Bailey down the field. So exactly what we need to see. Usually you might see those take place at halftime, and I think it's a good indication that we've made a nice adjustment here in the second quarter.
Out of the gun, Tristan Legate. High snap, little cross out to Alex up the middle. Got some room to run to the 30. Spins out of a tackle. Drags a couple of players forward to the 35-yard line. 26.6 showing on the clock.
Going to spike it here.
Yep.
Clock will stop to move the chains. Gain of 15. Biggest gain of the game for the Silver Streaks on the ground. And they'll spike it to stop the clock with 25.1 remaining. Silver Streaks do have one timeout remaining as well. Second down from the 35.
You know, that's what we talked about. So Alex went down and fumbled the ball, right, going in. We know we're going to go back to him. First play we have on offense, we go right back to him. And he picks up a first down for us with a chance of, hey, we move the ball out a little bit. What can we do with, 65 yards and 25 seconds to go in a half?
Short memory, right? Clear your memory.
Yep.
Move on. Out of the gun. Second and 10.
Middle.
Legate flows it to the near side. Underthrown. Pass incomplete at the 47-yard line. Intended for Dre Egyptiaco. Third and 10. Silver Streaks. 21 seconds to go.
And they are certainly playing Dre very, very tight with the Moline cornerback here. And I get what they were doing there, trying to, make a little 10-yard hitch, stop the clock in the out-of-bounds. But I think a shot play to Dre definitely down here on the short side of the field. Got the free safety over the top, which is Bailey.
Yeah.
That would definitely be there to help.
Yeah, you got
to,
for
try to look him off.
For Dre to have 234 yards receiving in three games.
They throw it across the middle, underthrown, and almost picked off by Bailey at the 45-yard line as Dre got knocked down and is slow to get up on his knees. Now gets up, And slowly walks off the field. It's fourth down now with 17 seconds to go. And the Streaks will have to send out the punt unit.
Yeah, the Streaks coaching staff here looking for a targeting. There was definitely, we talked about Bailey over the top. Man, and he's showing his athleticism, able to get there and make a large collision at the point of contact there.
Oh, just looked like three guys going for the ball from what I could tell on the
pretty
replay.
Clean too.
So the high snap to Davina. Moline gets a rush on. Hunter gets a low kick, and it'll roll inside the 30.
Don't touch it.
And the Streaks down it. Yeah, and that's the reaction after Alex gets down there and very quickly picks it up at the 27-yard line, 9 seconds to go. As soon as he touched it, he realized, ah.
Yeah, in that situation, you let it go. You wait for the official to blow the play because you want the clock to run. There's 9 seconds here. Of course, Moline's probably going to take a knee or something
probably.
Like that. But
probably.
Yes, the wise thing to do is let that ball sit there, wait for the official to call it dead, and then hand in the ball.
Let's see who they'll line up at quarterback. Bailey will take some snaps at quarterback. He did it once already in this game. And it is going to be Bailey.
They're in a victory formation.
With 9 seconds to go, they come set, and he does take a knee. Stay tuned for our What's Good at Galesburg halftime interview. Sean Hickey with theater director Nancy Dillard and Galesburg High School principal Jeff Houston. Halftime, Moline 21, Galesburg 17 on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Staying at home more than you'd like these days? Let RP Lumber help you make your home your happy place with our best service, best value promise. We can set you up with all the tools, hardware, and advice you need to spruce up your space. Find your nearest location at rplumber.com.
Gah! What happened with Wentworth's collision repair? I told him you better call Dave's. Dave's Auto Body, but that repair looks like a Hollywood actor with bad Botox and a weird facelift. Dave's doesn't jink around with cheap knockoffs. They restore to factory specs, and his techs get continuing primo training. And Dave's lifetime warranty beats the boogers out of the wannabe Dave shops. Hey, kids, here comes Wentworth again.
Dave's Auto Body.
Now try not to stare.
You better call Dave.
Hey, Wentworth. Are you crying?
I'm Pastor Vince Rohn of First United Methodist Church in Galesburg, where we believe in making room for everybody. We do that in person at 120 North Kellogg Street, where we have two different Sunday morning services, classes for all ages, children and youth ministry every week in safe ways. We also do that at firstumcgalesburg.org with worship services and other online opportunities to connect with God and others. Whoever you are, join us on Sunday mornings at 9 or at 10:30. Or anytime at firstumcgalesburg.org.
Exciting Silver Streak basketball and the exciting lineup of cars, trucks, and SUVs at Galesburg Nissan. From one end of the court to the other, we feature the most dependable and fuel-efficient dream team. Galesburg Nissan is home with a lifetime warranty. No gimmicks, no deductible, and no expensive service requirements. Plus, you get a free loaner car for life if your car needs to be in the shop. And every fifth oil change is free. We want to be your dealer for life, and we'll strive to prove it every day. Galesburg Nissan, home with a lifetime warranty, where you just can't buy a Nissan for less.
The official WGIL forecast is brought to you by Justin Cook State Farm, providing great insurance rates on bundled auto, home, and life policies. Call for the right policy and save money. Showers likely after midnight, overnight low 47. Showers tomorrow, slight chance of a thunderstorm, high of 55. More rain tomorrow night, overnight low 44. And Sunday, mostly sunny with a high of 63. In downtown Galesburg, it is 51 at WGIL.
WGIL's coverage of Galesburg High School football continues with the Silver Streaks Halftime Report. Brought to you by First United Methodist Church in downtown Galesburg. Find them online at umcgalesburg.org. Silver Streaks football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Galesburg Sports.
Welcome to Galesburg Moline Halftime Show. I'm Sean Hickey with this week's segment of What's Good at GHS. With us tonight, we have GHS Principal, Mr. Jeff Houston. This week's spotlight is on fine arts at Galesburg High School, specifically Galesburg High School Theater. With us, we have the Director of Theater, Nancy Dillard. Welcome to the show, Ms. Dillard.
Thanks for having us. We're pretty excited that we get to have part of the halftime show. That's kind of neat.
Well, we know this week is the play, and I wanted to have you on the show so that we can have you discuss a little bit about what's going on this weekend. So if you could tell us a little bit about the play and the show times, but I know the show times are a little bit different. So go ahead.
Show times are different, but we're doing All I Really Needed to Know I Learned in Kindergarten, which is a show with vignettes that has some songs in it. It's based on the book, All I Really Needed to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. And we picked it for various reasons, but it's a show. We're all actually doing the show, and we're doing it. The kids are together, and we're on a stage. But because we have limited seating, it's not like there's open tickets and anybody can come. We're not running our regular Friday, Saturday, Sunday shows. We're going to do it one time on Saturday night. It's limited invitation. We're able to just seat family. But we're really excited about that because we've done two shows this year where nobody's been able to be there at all, and families have missed it and had to watch it on YouTube. So we're pretty excited that even just families, we're limited to the 70 seats, and that is going to be almost exactly family. And so that's cool.
So if I'm not family, how will I be able to view the show?
Yeah, we're going to tape it that night, too, on the 10th. We're meeting at 6:30 at Northwoods Church because, you know, the auditorium is a pile of dust right now, so we have no stage. So we're barring Northwoods Church, and we're going to tape it during that Saturday night showing for the parents, and then it'll be on YouTube. Once we edit it and get it out on YouTube, it'll be on the Galesburg High School webpage where the connection is to get to it. You won't be able just to go to YouTube and look it up. You'll have to go to our webpage and get the link and click on it. So it can't be public, but we can put it on our webpage. So you can still watch it, and it's free. You don't have to buy tickets or anything for it, and you can see the really talented kids on stage. So.
Absolutely. So has the play format changed at all? I know you mentioned a couple this year that we've had already. You noted the change with the attendance, but what else has changed in the preparation for these shows?
Everything changed. Like everything, we were online. Fortunately, unlike sports, which could meet online just to talk or watch videos, we actually could rehearse and do stuff. So we actually had a fall play and a junior high play where all of the rehearsals were online. I picked shows that could be vignettes. I also picked shows that if we couldn't meet in person at any point, we could probably plug those, like a Zoom meet together, and kind of do a play. We were fortunate with both the first two plays that we were able to get together on one day, do it together on a stage with lights and sound and everything, tape it, and then put it out on YouTube. But everything's different. Everything was different. Everything was online. We've rehearsed online. Kids had to do blocking online. This we've been a little luckier because March 22nd we finally got to go in person, just the cast, and we were at Churchill, at the stage at Churchill practicing, and it made a world of difference. The kids felt better, everything. I don't know if Lena Dunn wrote an article the other day for the Register Mail, and it talked about how she felt about finally getting on stage with people, even with masks and distancing and hand sanitizer and temperatures, how regular it felt. So this show's a little different than the first two because we were together.
Yeah, we've been talking about this in the past weeks about getting back together, you know, and the return to school and this idea of normalcy. Although we're still not there, there's just a trend that's going in the right direction, I think, that we can all appreciate. So how have practices been with the schedules that's going on with the return to school? You know, we had remote, a little bit of hybrid, and now we're full in-person, although not everybody's here. So how has that process been going?
Well, again, we try to meet kind of a regular time, but rehearsals are less when you're online. You don't have as long of rehearsals. And it's also easier for kids to just not show up when you're online because you just don't log in. Also, the whole tech thing of sometimes kids don't have good Wi-Fi, and so they're there talking, and suddenly they skip out. We have also had an additional issue with construction because, again, we don't have theaters or auditoriums gone. All of our stuff is in storage, and we can't get to our shop or our stage without special permission because it's a construction zone. So not only have we had the COVID hurdle, but the construction hurdle has been pretty big for us. So we've had to pick things that didn't have big costumes, lots of set, lots of properties, you know, or stuff that kids can have or I can just go get. So all those things have been hurdles. But the kids have managed so well. Those who stick to it and committed to finishing it however it looked has been amazing. Now, I haven't had the 80-person big song and dance scene because that's not what we're doing. But the 15 kids who are in this particular musical have worked for several weeks online together with masks, social distance, reblocking things because they were too close together. It's been they're amazing. They always amaze me, though. They're amazing.
That's great to hear, you know, this normalcy and getting kids back. It's fantastic they're able to do this. I'll give you an opportunity here to talk about, I know you're the director of it all, but I know at times, too, you need help. So who are some of the people that help you out in this process?
Well, my culprit and crime guy is Russ Ulrich. He's my tech director. And so we wouldn't really have theater with, I mean, we would have kids on stage acting, but without the sets and the sound and the lights and some of the really ingenious things. I don't know if anybody saw Mary Poppins, but all the things we flew, we had animated backdrops. I mean, it's amazing. So I couldn't do it without Russ, and we sort of share a lot of stuff. Cyrus White is our music director for this one, and he has been very implemental because singing, if we had to do this all online and put it together as a Zoom, he was an integral part of that. Of course, the kids. We put the kids to work. We, you know, once we put this together, we stand back and just watch them. So the kids. On a normal year, it would have been Lori Larson and Kristen Schumann, who would be dance and costume, but I don't have dance and costume this year. And one person who's been super helpful this year has been Russ Robb. He's our director of fine arts. Because of COVID and because of construction, he's had to be super involved in where, how many, how do we do it, where do we go. And he is my link and my liaison to the main office to find out, you know, what can we do, where can we do it, how many people, you know, what are the parameters, you know, where, when can I get into the theater to, you know, grab something. So he has been, it's amazing what he's been able to help us do.
Well, that's great to hear. Again, that was Ms. Nancy Diller, GHS teacher and play director, discussing the upcoming play. Now let's talk with Principal Jeff Houston. Mr. Houston, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me again this week.
What are some of the highlights that we have this past week?
Well, we had the ZEPS SAT prep class for our juniors. Roughly around 50 students took that, and it's just a preparatory thing for the SAT, which then is next week. We've got roughly, I'd say, all the juniors and 25 to 30 seniors that we'll be testing next week in the SAT. And so we're going to get those two things, those assessments done, and then on to the next ones as we come up on the Illinois Science Assessment and then all the AP assessments. So we're in the assessment part of the calendar this time of year.
Also to mention the local assessments, Gantron, which we'll have in a couple of weeks as well. But if you could tell our listeners a little bit about what the SAT is. People know that, but why are we having juniors take it?
Well, it's a you know, part of some college entrances. It's really also a state-mandated test for our kids. It's part of an indicator for our school and how well we do amongst the state. So that's one of them that we do along with the Illinois Science Assessment. Those are things that are reported and the state looks at as far as data, and we used to also look at those data points to help drive some of the change in our school district.
All right, sounds good. So how's construction coming along?
Well, I just was over at the new vocational center, and they're starting to set some of the equipment already, and everything's been framed, and they've got everything walled in right now, and they're starting to throw paint on different surfaces. So it's coming along rather nicely. I think that you know, it's definitely going to be done by the end of this school year, with hopes that we can start to outfit it with, you know, student desks and things like that. And then I was in the high school just this week, and the north wing, which was the old vocational wing, has all been framed in, and it's taking shape quickly. All the front offices are about getting done, and the auditorium wall has pretty much been built in the back of the auditorium, and so now we're starting to separate those spaces. And it's just really taking a lot of shape right now, and you know, it's kind of exciting to see and think about our return. And so I'm hoping that the public and the teachers and the students are excited about the new GHS.
That's a wrap for this week's halftime show regarding what's good at GHS. Thanks again to GHS teacher and director of theater, Mrs. Nancy Dillard, and GHS principal, Mr. Jeff Houston, for the time. Coming up next, we'll have halftime stats, second half action against the Moline Maroons on 93.7 FM, 1400 AM WGIL.
The top stories of the day and so much more. 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL, Galesburg's local news.
The District 304 School Board last night approved a bid from Crawford Construction for the work totaling $611,000 for the installation of an HVAC system at United High School. The project, like all the district's health, life, safety work, was bonded in 2017, says Superintendent Jeff Witsit. The work's expected to be completed over the summer, with kids returning the next school year to air conditioning. A Chicago man has pleaded guilty to a federal charge for setting fire to a police SUV during last year's unrest in the city's downtown following George Floyd's death in Minneapolis. 23-year-old Jacob Michael Fagundo faces a likely sentence of 8 to 14 months behind bars after pleading guilty Thursday to obstructing law enforcement amid a civil disorder. He's scheduled to be sentenced on July 14th. The Chicago Sun-Times reports that Fagundo admitted to a federal judge that he set fire to a Chicago police SUV May 30th by tossing a lit firework inside the vehicle. I'm Cameron Lyon. Top stories at home, top stories from around the world. This is 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Galesburg's News.
Fox News, I'm Rich Dennison. President Biden's budget request includes $769 billion for non-defense programs and more than $750 billion for the Pentagon.
The budget blueprint calls for a significant investment in public education. Nearly $9 billion is earmarked for the CDC, representing the largest increase in nearly two decades for the public health agency.
Fox's Jared Halpern in Washington. Britain is mourning the death of Prince Philip, who died today at the age of 99.
British Prime Minister Boris Johnson says Philip helped steer the royal family so that it remains a vital institution.
Fox's Simon Owen at Buckingham Palace. Boeing announced a possible issue with an electrical system on a number of its 737 MAX aircraft. Several airlines have grounded the affected aircraft until the issue is resolved. America is listening to Fox News.
I can't get these headaches to stop.
Could it be your glasses from 8 years ago? And I love you, but you are much too cute for these outdated frames.
Hey!
Just saying, Kehoe has designer frames and the best eye exam available. You're worth it.
When you go to Kehoe, you'll see better after you get the best eye exam available. You'll look better with stylish new glasses, and you'll feel better because any nasty side effects from not seeing will be gone. See, look, and feel your best.
At Kehoe Eye Care, we care for people, not just eyes.
Robert, there's water running down the stairs. Do something before it ruins all the carpeting and walls.
Too late, sweetheart.
Hi, folks. This is Neil Thomas with Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating. Don't get caught off guard with a catastrophe like this. Sign up for our annual plumbing maintenance program. We'll do a complete inspection of all your plumbing as well as your sanitary sewer and give you the peace of mind you deserve knowing your plumbing is in good condition. Call us today at 342-HEAT for more details. You'll be glad you did.
Tune in for Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins. Weekdays at 2 on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Our halftime coaches interview in a 21-17 Moline lead. Brought to you by Yam Auto Group on North Henderson Street in Galesburg. Let's go down to the field. Jay Kickey's with the head coach.
Coach Wash.
Jake Miller's.
Yeah, that's all right. Coach Wash, I think, you know, for the first quarter and a half, we were talking that there may be 100 points scored in this ball game, and then things changed. Things settled down. Adjustments were made defensively. Obviously, they're killing us with the shot plays early, but you made some adjustments there late in the second quarter.
Yeah, we jumped into some more cover four just to give some help to some of those guys, and that seemed to take that away. I don't really feel like they're moving the ball very much on offense. I think they've hit one run for plus 10. Other than that, we're doing a pretty good job. We just cannot give up 21 points and, you know, 30-plus yard shot down the field throws.
So, unfortunately, I think it went the same way offensively, moving the ball early, doing a great job moving the ball early, and then did Moline make an adjustment on us offensively or there defensively there as the second quarter went on?
Yeah, they're heating up our option read a little bit and forcing us to pull the ball, Tristan. You know, we probably feel a little bit more comfortable running an A-gap here going in the second half than what we thought coming into the game. You know, and we just got to pick and choose where we use our throw game.
Well, we get the ball coming back first here in the first half. Good luck, Coach.
Yep, thank you.
As always, our thanks are to head coach Mike Wash about joining us here at halftime. Let's take a look at our first half statistics, also brought to you by Yem Auto Group on North Henderson Street in Galesburg. Well, the offensive numbers clearly favor the Moline Maroons. Alec Ponder, 13 of 23 passing, three touchdowns, two interceptions, 225 yards passing, but 11 carries, only 39 yards on the ground, but still they're put up 264 yards of offense in the first half. Silver Streaks, meanwhile, not as impressive. 20 plays on the ground for 69 rush yards. And Tristan Legate just 4 of 11 passing for 24 yards, so less than 100 yards of total offense for the Silver Streaks. They do have that 92-yard kickoff return by Dre Egyptiaco, though. And we were looking at the possessions in the first half. Moline had the ball 9 times, including the one snap of taking a knee at the end of the half, so it kind of doesn't count. Silver Streaks had the ball 8 times, so 17 offensive possessions combined between the two teams in the first half. ready to start the second half. Galesburg will have the ball. Caroline Hazen with the ball teed up at the 40-yard line. 21-17 is the Moline lead. A fairly cleanly played first half. Only two penalties on the Maroons. None on the Silver Streaks.
Don't do it.
But don't tell anybody.
Don't do it.
The halftime clock just ended. Teams have been out there ready to go.
Ready to go. Chomping at the bit.
Had to wait for the clock to wind down officially. Now we're waiting for the referee to blow the whistle to say go ahead and start it. There it is, and we're ready to start the second half. Moline on top, 21-17. Another line drive squib kick goes out of bounds at the 29-yard line, and the Streaks will have it at the 35. Well, again, we were looking at the possessions. Moline, punt, touchdown, touchdown, interception, touchdown. Then after that, two punts and an interception, and we reach the half. Silver Streaks, first four possessions, fumble, touchdown, kickoff return, field goal, and then punt, punt, fumble, punt. So we talked about the teams settling in, the game settling in, and both teams definitely did that. Let's see what the second half brings with the Galesburg trailing by four, first offensive possession starting from their 35-yard line.
Streaks line up very traditionally here. We're going to have single back, two tight ends, two receivers, one to each side in the gun.
Drea Gypsyaku to the short side of the field. Cohen Derry to the top half. Handoff goes to Alec. Cut back up the middle to the 40, to the 41-yard line. Now he's down right at the 40. So good pickup of five on first down to start the second half.
Yep, a five-yard pickup on first down opens everything up here, right? So the Streaks have a full complement of their playbook when you got second and five.
Alex Gypsyaku, the leading rush runner in the game. 10 carries, 43 yards in the first half. Riley Fuller led Moline with 38 yards rushing. Rollout and the ball right off of Hunter Davina's shoulders. On the run, looked like he tried to take off with it before he really had possession of it. The ball was thrown right to him wide open. Incomplete.
Fantastic play fake.
Yep.
On that. And that's, you're going to freeze your backers, and that's going to allow Hunter to get open. We got to reel that one in.
Yeah, with Aaron Carl out in front, I think, as a lead blocker, too, I think Hunter has some room to work, and we know how hard he is to bring down when he gets a full steam going.
Yeah, he had an 8-yard cushion up to Aaron.
Very quickly, third and a long four for the Silver Streaks, and there's a flag. Looked like somebody on the line moved for the Silver Streaks, and that's going to make it a lot tougher. Galesburg, third, 3 of 4 on third downs in the first quarter, but 0 for 3 in the second quarter, and this is the first penalty against Galesburg, and they'll take it back to third and nine now.
So two mental mistakes. I mean, honestly, that catch is a mental mistake for Hunter. And now we jump off sides, and what was third and five is now third and a long nine here for the Silver Streaks. And now things get a little tougher to convert here.
Legate out of the gun. Good protection. Slings it across the far side. Complete at the 50-yard line, falling backward, reeling it in. Yep. Cohen Derry for his third catch of the game, and a big third down conversion for the Silver Streaks, a gain of 15.
Real nice focus there by Cohen on that ball. I mean, he was kind of – it was thrown a little bit behind him.
Good route adjustment.
Yeah, he set his feet down, let his body fall, watched the ball right in, got a nice reception there for a first down.
Plenty of time provided by the offensive line. Nobody in Tristan Legate's face there.
Keep it on the ground on first down at midfield to the right side. Alex keeping the feet moving forward to about the 46-yard line. Another nice little gain on first down. They'll actually spot it back a yard to the 47, a gain of 3.
Sean picked up on something earlier saying that the Streaks have been more successful running the ball in the middle of the offensive formation in what we would call A-gap. Streaks going away a little bit right here of running off tackle with their option game.
That 15-yard pass play to Cohen Derry, by the way, for the Silver Streaks was their biggest pass play of the game. On the rollout, passing behind to Drea Gypsyaku and falls incomplete. And Bailey was right there for Moline, ready to pick it off. In fact, he had the better position coming toward the ball as it was thrown behind Dre a little bit. It'll be third and seven.
I like it a little bit here with what Tristan was doing. He had Hunter Davina short. He also had Aaron Carl short. He chose to go to the intermediate route. Unfortunately, it was just an inaccurate ball behind Dre. Dre did a good job, actually, keeping it out of Bailey's hands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was there.
But I like the aggressiveness of where he wants to go with the football. You know, he feels comfortable enough to make a deeper throw, which is a good thing.
Third down again.
We haven't seen the streaks really push vertical yet. It's been a lot in the flat, a lot in the corners.
Darian Carl to the near side. Legate looking right, though. He's going to roll out. He's going to keep it. Points downfield, and then the tackle made out of bounds, short of the first down marker. They'll mark him out at the 44, 4 yards short. He kept moving forward, trying to get to the marker, but he was out of bounds as he did it. And this will be fourth and four in Moline territory at the 44.
The Streaks players definitely out there encouraging Coach Washbaugh to go for it.
Sure,
and that
are.
That looks like what we're gonna see here.
That
so a very pivotal
try
moment.
To draw him off here again.
Yeah,
did that in the first half on a third down.
Pivotal moment early here in the third quarter.
Now Legate, as he just starts to come set, looks to the sideline, see if there's any change in play call.
Call's coming in, looking at the defense that we have.
Coach Tenhouse signaling this play in.
Mm-hmm. Now Legate drops back out of the gun. Straight snap, pressure on. Legate flushed out of the pocket, throws it across the middle.
And
complete to Aaron Carl at the 35-yard line and falls to the 34. Just sat down in a spot, and the Streaks move the chains.
What a nice adjustment there for Aaron to see the zone. Sat down in the zone while his quarterback was moving. The throw, both got two defenders converged on it, but the throw is perfectly right in his gut. First down Streaks.
Nice job there by Tristan, too, to kind of feel that pressure and work out it. He didn't necessarily have a guy in his face, but he worked his way to get a clear lane to that throw. Well
second fourth down conversion in this game for the Streaks. And a new set of downs at the Moline 34, trailing by four. Early third quarter action. Lots of time. Now Legate on the run, steps up to the 35, up the near sideline, lowers his shoulder, and runs over a man and a is there a flag down at the end of the play? Boy, does the streak sideline get jacked up to watch Tristan go man-to-man on the defender, lowering the shoulder right into him, and he'll be a few yards short of the first down. Big gain on first down.
I applaud the effort. I love the energy.
I know
but gosh darn it, get out of bounds, Tristan. Uh-huh. All right, and I was a quarterback too and never did that myself, but just looking at it as an adult's perspective, knowing that we are down to our backup quarterback now, get yourself out of bounds, son, and live to play another down.
Call it a gain of just four. From the 30, handoff up the middle, Alex. Pressure there. Alex backing his way into the defenders,
good
pushing
effort.
The pile forward, picking up a couple more yards after the initial hit. And they'll take it down to about the 27 for a gain of three, and it'll be third and short.
We say it time and time again with Alex, just that extra effort. You know, you keep your feet moving, you keep it pumping, you fall forward, you finish your runs off, and as a result here, we're what should have been a 2-yard gain ended up being a 4-yard gain.
He's not the fastest or the biggest, but he certainly finishes runs with the best of the running backs in the conference.
Out of the eye on third and three from the Moline 27. Handoff right. Oh, low tackle, undercutting Alex right at the line of scrimmage. The ball will be down close to the 25, but it'll be short of a first down and another fourth down decision for the Streaks. Fourth and about a yard and a half.
It was a great tackle by Christian Ray,
sure,
at number
was.
28 from Moline.
Streaks line it up in the eye to go for it. Can they get another fourth down conversion on fourth? A rollout.
Run it.
The play fake by Tristan. He'll throw on the run.
Nice
complete
catch.
To Dre on a high catch up the far sideline. Spun out of bounds short of the goal line. Streaks with a first and goal at the four. That was a heck of a catch by Egyptiaco.
Yes, it was. In his hands, just sticky fingers up there, using his hands and none of his body to make that catch, grabbing it almost out of the hands of the defender. Two fourth down conversions for the Silver Streaks on this drive.
And then to get his feet down in bounds and have the athleticism to turn it field and to get extra yards.
Goes as a gain of 22. First and goal for the Silver Streaks inside the five.
Now we see the wishbone package in as Damian Thomas in the game.
3.5 minutes gone here in the second half. Streaks trying to regain the lead, down four. Hand off right side. Alex going for the corner. Dives
touchdown.
For it and got it. Inside the pylon, staying on his feet, and the Streaks regain the lead at 23-21.
The Streaks going to the right side of the formation there, and Alex kind of, it was designed to go off tackle. Alex definitely bounces it out, gets real skinny, and makes his way into the end zone.
Talked earlier in the game about this nice field vision.
Alex carried the ball five times on that drive.
Streaks muddle.
for 17 yards, 17 of the 65.
Yeah, he did a great job of following his lead blockers there. You know, we thought he kind of bounced it, which he did. But as you know, the two guys blocking for him there, which was Kyron Leith and Damian Thomas, just kept continuing to push on the outside.
The extra point by John Wren is good. Streaks back on top by three, 24-21. Just underway second half, 8:28 to go in the third quarter on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Mr. Blowhard, we're reviewing Dave's Auto Body.
Well, if they won our Ultimate 10 Stars of Excellence Award, they better be good. Let me see their file.
Oh, they're very good, Mr. B.
Just how good?
Well, a lifetime warranty.
Impressive.
They teach other body shops how to do it right.
Really?
Over 40 years of excellence, plus rapid processing technology.
Huh?
You get your car back real fast.
Oh.
Perfect every time, Mr. B.
People, we have a winner.
Dave's Auto Body.
10 Stars of Excellence.
You better call Dave.
They deserve 10 stars.
Oh, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody covers the Silver Streaks like 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Galesburg Sports.
A 12-play scoring drive to open the second half. The Silver Streaks take it 65 yards in 3 minutes 32 seconds. Alex Egyptiaco's second touchdown run of the night, and the John Wren extra point puts the Streaks up 3. On the return kickoff, Wall taking it at the 13, cutting to the far side of the field. And finally run out of bounds across the 30 at about the 32-yard line, which is where Moline will begin this drive. Talking about the play calling just off air during that, after that Streaks scoring drive. They had that third and four, got the offsides penalty, which moved them back to third and nine. They had the 15-yard pass to Cohen Derry. They had two fourth down conversions, some gutsy play calling, some big decisions the Streaks made, setting the tone here for the second half. Out of the gun. Well, flinch at the line of scrimmage, slinging it to the far side. The pass complete, and the tackle made right at the first down marker. The catch made by Blake Willie. Well, the ball looks to be maybe spotted just a hair short of the first down marker. It'll be second and nine.
Yeah, nice little six-yard hitch there, which they've ran a bunch tonight. And then the receiver makes a little spin move and gets another two, 3 yards on the...
We're going to measure again.
Yeah, well,
it's right there in the sideline.
It's easy over yeah, there.
That one you ought to be able to eyeball and know for sure. From up here, we don't quite have the angle. We're looking at it at an offset angle, but from up here it looks short. Jake, maybe you've got a better look at it. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't.
Well, the official was 3 yards from it. He couldn't eye it up. So,
to me, it looks like it's first down.
Yeah, okay.
It's an Boy. Inch. Nope, they're going to call it
first down. So that's 10-yard gain, 235 yards passing now for Alec Ponder in this game. Wiley was pretty quiet early in the game, but had a couple of receptions late in the half. That's his third catch of the game, going for 10. First down from the Moline 44. Just under 8 minutes to go. First possession of the second half for Moline. Now trailing by three. Hand off up the middle. Wow. Fuller trying to bounce to the outside. Slips a tackle by Hunter Davina. Now finally tackled at the 50-yard line. Clay kind of broke down quickly.
Yeah, it looked to be Cam McGuire actually in there on that tackle, and he kind of got slipped. He kind of dropped to his knees there right at the point of attack, and the running back was able to shift his way out of there.
Fuller carried it 9 times, 38 yards in the first half. That goes as a gain of 6. It'll be second and 4 right at the 50. 24-21 Silver Streaks. Second and 4 Moline. Bailey the wideout to the near side. Man-to-man coverage against Rakeen Spinks. Out of the gun, Ponder. Looking left, throws it that direction. Pass complete at the 44-yard line. And a tackle made at the 40 to Wiley again. And move the chains for a gain of 6.
So you see the chess
match. Sorry, a gain of 10.
Yep. You see the chess match unfold here, right? So the Streaks are going to play off, prevent the big gain, which we have done since the middle of the second quarter. And Moline right now looks content to let their quarterbacks and receivers throw 6-yard, 8-yard hitches all the way down the field. There's going to have to be a give and take one way or the other.
And then see if they make a move on a corner. And right now they're going after Xavier Coleman.
First down at the Galesburg 40. Ponder fakes left, looks right, gets batted down. Lots of Silver Streaks jerseys in the backfield to bat that one down.
Come on, guys, whistle blue.
And that'll be second down.
Hunter Davina loses a shoe. Got blocked out of his shoes there.
Well, because he elevated so high to block the ball.
He jumped out of his shoes. Those things are bright.
It's kind of a neat ordeal.
Mm-hmm.
7:01 to go in the third quarter. Second down, Moline from the Gelsberg 40. So you talk about the chess match. Silver Streaks won that little matchup. What can they do on second and 10 here? Same formation, three wideouts to the right. Keep it on the ground to Fuller. Trying to bounce to the outside. Slips a tackle at the 40. Falls forward. Makes positive yardage out of it. Close to the 37 of the Silver Streaks. Knee might have been down at the 38. Yep, they're going to spot it right at the 37 for a short gain of 3.
Nice inside flow there from Cannon Klein at first impact. Although the guy got out of it, he slowed him down enough that they were able to rally the hats to the ball and make the stop here. Third down and 8.
Can the Streaks make the stop on third down? Moline 3 of 6 on third downs in this game. Looking middle, now looking long. Near side, man-to-man coverage. Bailey goes up for it. Man-to-man with Rakeem. They've both got the hand on the ball, but it's going to be complete to Bailey as they're still trying to wrestle it away from each other. And Bailey just outsized Rakeem on that one, who had better position, but Bailey just went up over the top of him, hauled it, and controlled it down to the 6.
Yeah, nothing else to be said there. Bailey was just better on that play. Able to make a very athletic play and use his body advantage, size advantage, in making that reception.
Yeah, the throw wasn't great. It was underthrown.
A gain of 31. And Bailey has 4 receptions for 110 yards now. First and goal, Moline at the 6. Fuller trying to get to the outside. Pursuit gets away from one tackle. And the Streaks string it all the way out to the far sideline, where Fuller falls down. And they're going to give a loss on that. I don't think he ever did get back to the original line of scrimmage. Looks like one official waiting at the 6, so they're going to give him no gain.
Strung it out well. We had good penetration. Wish we'd had the stop in the backfield. That was Riley Hickey in the backfield. Strung it out. Had to bounce outside of him. Good flow by the defense. And here we are now, second goal from the 6. Yep. Left hash.
Fuller lines up to the right of Ponder. Out of the gun. Comes set.
False start.
Well, it looks like, yeah, sure looked like Bailey got a head start on the far sideline. Now a flag comes down in
the
end zone. Yeah, I see no flags down. Boy, that was very evident from up here in the press box that Bailey went too quick on the near side, and the flags in the end zone is going to be interference. Bailey was able to make the catch. A lot of contact down there, and they're going to give him the touchdown. There's the call.
He had a rolling start.
So 5:49 to go in the third quarter. Moline regains the lead at 27-24, and that was a big miss by the officials.
Yeah, we hear the grumbling from the crowds, and they're absolutely right. I actually saw that in the first half, and I told the coaching staff in the booth next to us, I said, that guy's moving. You know, when you have a head start like that, it's a disadvantage. That's why it's a penalty.
Hazen in for the extra point. Streaks get penetration,
short.
And the kick comes up short and a little bit to the right. I don't know if somebody got a hand on it, but they sure had the pressure on. So it remains a 3-point Moline lead, 27-24, 5:49 to go in the third quarter from Van Dyke Field on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Silver Streaks football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Arby's on North Henderson Street in Galesburg. They'll hang the big hat up on the sign so you can see it. By Lox Roofing and Siding Incorporated. Tackle all your home projects with one call to Lox Roofing and Siding. And by Go Van Gogh's, the T-shirt factory at 237 East Tompkins Street in downtown Galesburg.
Stay connected with Galesburg anywhere you go. Galesburg's local news is always online at WGIL.com.
27-24 Moline, an 8-play scoring drive. 66 yards is what they cover in 2 minutes, 31 seconds. Answering the Silver Streaks scoring drive to open the half. 6-yard touchdown reception by Matthew Bailey, his second of the game. 4th touchdown pass for the quarterback Ponder.
Stop.
Silver Streaks will have the ball at the 34-yard line after another short kick with 5:44 to go. Well, we saw the first half open in a rash of scoring by both teams.
Yeah.
And both teams open the second half with scores on each of their first possessions. Will this game settle in as adjustments are made? Out of the eye. The play fake. Legate rolling right. On the run. Pass complete to Kyron Leith. And a big tackle made in the open field at the 43-yard line to make the stop. Leith was eyeballing the first down marker, but still a gain of 8 on first down.
Yeah, I was glad to see him catch the ball. We had a play in the first half with him where he dropped the ball there. I think we're inside the 10 on that play earlier in the first half. Came back to him here. A nice catch. Run it field. Got 8-yard gain, so it's 2nd and 2.
Trayvon Lee with a fantastic tackle of his ankles there.
I think that's Kyron's first reception of the season. Alex on the ground. Gets to the outside. Gets the first down. Crossing the 45. They'll mark him out. A lot of bodies in there. All the way up to the 48-yard line for a gain of 6. And the Streaks move the chains.
That's the same play that we scored on right there. It's just a double lead that we have going. And good blocking up front. Alex is able to bounce it outside. Keep it up. Going up the sideline there, get some extra yards, first down for the Silver Streaks.
Finding something they like on the right side of the formation this game.
Yeah. 5:07 to go, third quarter, 27-24 Moline out of the wishbone. Kyron Leith, handoff right side, crosses the 50. Tackled at the Moline 46-yard line. Another good gain on first down, a pickup of 6. 2nd and 4 Streaks.
But, Jake, this is consistent with what you said. You know, we like the short side of the field, and right now the ball's in the right hash, so that kind of shows us to be more right-handed and going that way. But we do favor right now the short side of the field, and it's working well. Here we are now at 2nd and 5, or long 4.
Streaks very quickly cross the 50, back into Moline territory, down 3. Looking to march it downfield and regain the lead. The handoff to Alex runs right again. First down, crossing the 40. Inside the 40, down to the 37-yard line. And the Streaks moving quickly here as well. Actually, marking back at the 39. Thought he was better than that. Still a gain of 7, though.
And, Jake, you know right here, we're handing the ball off. We're pulling them in pretty soon. We're going to play fake that, play action, and go into a pass. And it's going to be open.
17 carries, 73 yards for Alex Egyptiaco tonight. Out of the gun, Legate goes back to him. He goes left this time, inside the 35 to the 34-yard line.
That's still an inside run. That's an off-tackle play, designed little cutback. I can't see a gain of another 4 yards.
Yep.
2nd and 6.
Dragging a little slow getting up there. Alex, a little slow getting up there. Moline's not making it easy. I mean, there's no big runs that we see here, and Moline is very large on the interior.
Alex carried it 10 times in the first half. He's already carried it 8 times here in the second half.
Yeah.
And he stays out there as a single setback as Legate comes under center. Play fake, rolling right again, on the move, dropped again by Hunter Davina, short of the 30-yard line. He was open. Ball was thrown a little bit low, but very catchable, and now it brings up 3rd and 6.
Did I see a flag come out, Jake?
Not that I see. I think those are Hunter's shoes.
Could be. Flashing the lights reflecting off of.
Yeah, a little. I can't really explain why it's happened other than, he's got to be turning downfield looking for room to run before he catches the football first.
Legate is 4 for 7 passing in the second half, and I think the 3 incompletions are all drops.
Yeah.
Rolling left this time, now steps up in the pocket, slips a tackle, trying to get out of a drag down from behind, and he stopped at the 34-yard line for a pickup of maybe a yard by the time it's all said and done. And now the Streaks with another 4th down call to make.
Yeah, and it's not really a decision, I don't think, anymore. I mean, the Streaks can't afford to give the ball back right now to the Moline offense without at least a valiant attempt here. So got a bunch of Streaks coming back on the field. We're going to show the wishbone package.
To give Legate no gain, so it's 4th and 6 what they're facing here. From the Maroons' 35-yard line. Fake handoff right, now Legate drops back. Pump fake, pressure on from behind. Uh-oh. Gets it away, almost picked off. Alex catches it, though.
Nope.
Sprinting and reaching and coming up short of the first down marker at the 30-yard line on the far side of the field.
What an effort.
Sure was.
Yeah. Yeah, breaks the tackle.
Well, great effort by Tristan to keep the play alive and get it to him.
Yeah.
Going to mark him down at the 31. So the Streaks give it up on downs. Moline takes over. 2:40 to go in the third quarter, leading the Silver Streaks by 3, 27-24. Streaks had it 3 minutes, come up empty. Still a lot of time to go in the game, and obviously just a three-point game. Can the defense respond? Moline did the old bend but not break there. Silver Streaks like to get one of those turnovers they got in the first half, be able to force one here. Rolling right, Ponder throws it. Pass complete by Wall at the 35-yard line, trying to slip the tackle. Streaks surround him and take him down at the 37-yard line.
They rallied well to the ball there. Ball in the flat, about a 5-yard gain. 6-yard gain.
Yeah, well, they're going to mark it down exactly. Here comes the ball, the spot made at the 37. Yep, so a gain of 6.
Pretty simple route combination. You had the kind of the out and the up, right? And you got the deep option. You got the out option.
Yep, a simple concept. One goes deep, one goes short. One goes in, one goes out.
Cranston Wall's second catch of the game. Ponder has completed passes to 7 receivers in this game. They'll keep it on the ground. Fuller up the middle. Streaks surround him well at the 38 for a gain of a yard. Maybe to the 39. It'll be third and short.
I don't know, guys. This just gets that feeling that if they continue this drive to a score, then we get into that, you know, that 2-score where we're chasing things. And kind of a similar feeling of what ended up happening in the second half last week. You know, so I you know, every defensive possession is important. But this one here, a big third down, a stop here would most certainly force Moline to punt.
Moline 4 out of 7 on third downs in this game. This is 3rd and 2. They got to get it to the 41. There was another flinch at the line of scrimmage. The ball deflected straight up into the air, and Thornton is there for the catch for Moline. 2 yards past the first down marker. The Streaks got some penetration. They got a hand on the pass, and it went straight up into the air into a position where there weren't enough defenders to get to the ball. But Thornton was right there for Moline, and they moved the chains to the 43.
Just bad luck.
Yep. So for Thornton, that was his 4th catch of the night.
He did pay the price.
And the shortest one he made, but a big one for the Moline Maroons on a new set of downs. The swing out to the far side and a dive forward to the 48-yard line. The pass completion this time to Jaheim Thornton again. They'll give him 5. 297 yards passing for Alec Ponder tonight. Looking like the second week in a row, the Streaks are going to give up 300 yards passing to an opposing quarterback.
I think Moline's going to be content to let this go to the fourth quarter, a much quicker third quarter.
We come out of this here, start the fourth quarter. We need defense to stop and get the ball back.
The ball will move from 148 to the other side of the 48, and it'll be 27-24 Maroons when we start the fourth quarter. Coming back to Van Dyke Field on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Right there where that giant tree is, that's where I want the garage. And then I want the sidewalk to wind around where those bushes are.
Need site prep, foundation, or concrete? Call Courtright Construction. They understand how pivotal those beginning tasks are. Give them a call for your next project. Courtright Construction of Oneida.
At RP Lumber, we got you covered. Cabinetry, countertops, flooring, and fixtures. We'll help you pick the products that fit your style to your budget and deliver everything right to your home. Find your nearest location at rplumber.com. RP Lumber. Think twice, call once.
Tune in to Cardinal Baseball tomorrow as the Redbirds take on Milwaukee. Coverage begins at 12:20.
Catch Cardinal Baseball on WGIL.
3 quarters gone at Van Dyke Field. Silver Streaks and Moline trade touchdowns. Silver Streaks cut a point off the Moline lead at the half thanks to a blocked extra point. But still trail by 3. Moline facing 2nd and about 5 from their own 48 here as we get ready to start the fourth quarter. Brad Benowitz, Sean Hickey, Jake Miller, Will Stevenson, our broadcast engineer. Thanks for being with us here on WGIL, Galesburg Radio 14. 2nd of 3 home games for the Silver Streaks in this shortened spring football season. Second and five, Alec Ponder out of the gun. Hands off to Fuller up the middle, and a tackle made and brought down immediately by Jeremiah Morris, who locked on and took him down for a loss of a couple.
Outstanding play there. It's what we need. I just said that right at the end of the third quarter. I said, hey, it's time to get a stop here and get the ball back. Answer that right there. Nice play by Jeremiah.
So that brings up third and a long seven now. Moline, 2 for 2 on third downs here in the second half from the 46. Rolling right. Pressure from the backside. Gets hit
on,
as
Riley.
Ponder lets it loose. Man-to-man coverage and the catch made by Moline. Down at the 26-yard line, Grant Sibley with the catch. Or was that Thornton again?
Looked like Thornton. The development here is Ponder has not gotten up.
Yeah, he
after
got hit
taking
big.
A hit.
Clean Aaron
hit.
Carl from the backside had a bead on him, and Ponder got it loose, a clean throw, but he took a hit by Carl right at the end of the play, but it's a Moline first down at the 26-yard line of Galesburg with 11:14 to go in the ball game.
A major impact, and the Streaks know this well, right? We've already gone through this as our quarterback has gone down too. Ponder rolling over now, onto his back. But, yeah, we certainly see that this will have a major impact on their offenses. I'm certain Bailey's going to come in, and run, and then
he's a run threat.
Yeah, that takes him obviously though away as being the biggest
receiving
threat. So there's a whole domino of things. You know, hopefully the kid's okay. He's up on his feet. He's walking gingerly off to the sideline.
Got his right arm holding his lower back. And we certainly don't wish any ill will on him. But you're right. The impact, 325 yards passing in this game. And now the referee is getting called over by the side judge. He's pointing to the Galesburg sideline.
Yeah.
Somebody say something over there.
We had some.
Is there a flag? Oh, I see it. I do see a flag. I was blocked by one of the coaches, and now I do see it.
Staff or from one of the players, but something was said he didn't like.
I haven't seen any indication from the referee yet. 11:14 to play. 27-24 Moline. Maroons with the ball at the 26-yard line.
Personal unsportsmanlike.
Unsportsmanlike conduct. So there goes, well, not 15 yards because it's at the 26, so be about 13 yards. That's only the Streak's second penalty of the game, but a huge one.
Well, certainly. They had the ball at the 45 going in at the end of that play. They now have the ball on the 13-yard line.
So, Bailey now in at quarterback under center. Fakes the handoff to the right side. It does go to the right side. The Streaks respond to it well. And not a lot of gain by Fuller on first down, but a short gain and another player down at the end of the play for Moline. Slow to get up, rolling over, and now crumpling back down to the ground.
Looks like a lineman, but I can't tell. Jay, can you see?
Yeah, there's an offensive lineman down here. I was just, you know, something we haven't seen all night, the traditional wing tee, the double dive action, which is Moline's other half. You know, we saw the coaches, we heard the coaches at the beginning talking about kind of the Jekyll and Hyde approach, and this is what you're going to get with Bailey under center.
Looks like number 77, Nate Parker, is the injured maroon.
Mentioned off here, Sterling had a 7-0 lead over Rock Island at the half. See if we can get a more recent update than that with the injury timeout here with 10:47 to go. And, boy, this game has come to a complete stop, hasn't it, with the injury to the quarterback Ponder, the penalty on the Silver Streaks, now another injury. Also like to find a Mole or an Alleman UT score, but I haven't been able to come across that one either. Still can't find anything more recent than a 7-0 Sterling lead. Here we go. 3:47 left in the third quarter. This is 12 minutes ago. 13-0 is the Sterling lead. And UT leading Alleman 20-0. There's the first chance I've seen to find a score there, but that was almost an hour ago. So that one's certainly into the second half by now. But UT playing better ball. Everybody said before the season started they're going to be better, and they have been. And they're beating Alleman tonight. That's the Streak's opponent next week. All right, 2nd and 9 here for the Maroons.
With Ponder back in the ballgame.
He sure is. That was short. A short drop.
Get it.
And he's straight into the end zone, picked off by Rakeem Spinks. Up the near sideline. Stops, and he stepped out of bounds.
They're saying he stepped out of bounds.
Right. At the 12-yard line.
Same thing that's happened before. That was intercepted in the end zone. Isn't that supposed to be an automatic touchback?
Yeah, I don't.
It should be.
I'll have to check the rules on that, guys, because when we coached Sean, you could not run the ball out of the end zone. You couldn't run the ball out of the end zone on a kickoff. You couldn't run the ball out of the end zone on a
punt.
Pick like that, on a punt.
Yeah.
But maybe that's something, because now that is twice that we've seen that happen.
We don't see the Streaks making any case for the ball to be at the 20.
No. And that's our third interception tonight.
Sure is. And how about that? Ponder comes back into the game out of the injury. That just looked like a bad route. He threw it to a spot.
Yeah.
And Rakeen was the only one there.
Yeah, Bailey went in and the throw went out.
So the Streaks take over, down 3, under 10.5 minutes to go in the game, and up the middle for nothing.
Yeah, there was no go in there for Alex. He did good to get back to the line of scrimmage. Just nothing on the left side there of the Silver. Running to the wide side of the field, which is a bit of a difference of what they've been doing all game.
Silver Streaks with the 2 previous turnovers have turned it into only 3 points. Down 3 here with under 10 minutes to go out of the gun. Tristan, rolling left, throws it off the foot, and another drop. That would have been a short gain, but it's just dropped on the far side of the field.
Alex Baughman.
Yep.
And it'll be 3rd and 10 very quickly. Well, Streaks had some huge 4th down conversion. They even had a big 3rd down conversion the first time they had 3rd down at the beginning of this half. Here's another big opportunity. 3rd and 10 from the Moline 12 after the interception in the end zone. Down 3. Still 9:51 to play in the game, but feeling like in a very important possession here for the Silver Streaks to get a chance to win. Legate rolling right. Some room to run. Now tucks it in and runs out of bounds short of the 20-yard line. It'll be a middle gain of about 4, but not nearly enough for the first down.
Yeah, he didn't like what he saw. He got out on the edge, and it looked like good coverage there on the backside. Dre popping open, but he was on the other side of the formation. Didn't get into the quarterback's field of vision, so not wanting to turn the ball over deep in your own territory. Mm-hmm. This isn't the worst thing that could occur.
Snap it.
So Hunter Davina standing back at his own 1. So the Streaks will give it up.
Good
on
snap.
A punt. Gets it into the midsection. Gets the punt high up into the air. And Moline tells everybody to get away from it. Nobody even went after it. And the ball will deaden itself at about the 47-yard line on the Moline side of the field. So the Streaks defense needs to come up big here. Again, they come up empty after the Moline turnover and still trail by 3 with 9:33 to go in the game.
Things starting to slow down the way they did in the first half after we trade touchdowns there in the third quarter. Now we get some punts and some turnovers. Things kind of grinding down again.
Defensively, we got to keep the pressure on. We got to stay after him here. We got to keep getting pressure on the quarterback. That's Ponder back in there, still at quarterback after taking the hit. So we got to keep the hammer down on defense.
See what kind of mobility he shows after that back injury. He just slings it to the outside under some pressure, but the catch is made, and the run across the 50 and finally brought down at about the 47. Another pass completion to Jaheim Thornton. Crosses into the Galesburg side of the field on a gain of 6. There was pressure in the backfield. Somebody came flying through there.
I think it was Aaron Carl, but I'll check and see that.
But Ponder got the pass away right in front of the outstretched arms. That's Thornton's seventh reception of the night for 117 yards. Streaks creeping up at the line of scrimmage. Short drop by Ponder. Passes it across the middle. Throws behind the intended receiver at the 32-yard line.
Jake, was that tipped?
I don't know. It came out real funny. I don't know if it was tipped. I think that Ponder probably didn't have the seams when he threw the football. That's more what it looked like to me.
He's not moving much in the pocket. It's just a couple steps and trying to get it away quickly.
Trying to hit those timing routes.
I was watching Bailey as he was streaking down the field because I was certain that's where the football was going. Rakeem did a good job, and looks like Rakeem is traveling with Bailey here in this half.
Third and four, 8:50 to play in the game. Gelsberg down three. Out of the gun, short drop. Ponder gets it away again and dropped. Nearly intercepted again by the Silver Streaks. Gelsberg has gotten a hand on the ball a number of times tonight. Cam McGuire just couldn't bring that one in, but it does bring up fourth down.
If he was able to bring that in, fellas, we would have had a lead because there's no one. There was nothing green grass in front of him. No white jerseys.
Cam McGuire was not the defender on the intended receiver there. So that's something that the Moline coaching staff have to look at is if you have two guys in the vicinity of each other, that's what happens and almost cost him.
Well, Cam got his read. He hit number two, and he was going to flat, but the outside receiver sat, and that's what Rakeem was playing.
Whistles as Wall gets the punt away. And let's see what this one is. Got to believe this one's against Moline. Yeah, False start. I'll back him up five.
Guys, something we haven't seen tonight is of all the punts, have any of these punts been returned? Every punt that I can think of tonight has hit the ground and just been blown dead. I can't think of one that's even been caught for a fair catch.
We've had a number of them, Jake.
Yeah, there's been a lot.
you may be forgetting one of them. I don't know. I can either
confirm. Back to the 48. Streaks get the rush on, and he gets a short punt away, and there was a little bit of contact there at the
end. All the punter had to do was fall. I think he could have gotten that.
Yeah, I think so, too. So it goes out of bounds on the far side of the field. The officials are going to mark it out, it looks like, at the 37. And really a nice job by Wall to even get that out of that as much as the Silver Streaks were bringing the pressure.
Yeah, certainly had a block coming from our defensive left.
So 8:38 to go, still a lot of time, and the Streaks only down three. They'll have the ball at their own 37-yard line.
Trying to find some offensive rhythm here. It just seems to really be lacking for the Silver Streaks offense. Like, what are we going to establish here in the fourth quarter going this direction?
Out of the gun, handoff to Alex, trying to get to the outside, cuts up field to the 45 where he's dropped there. Nice gain on first down. Looked like it was going to go for more. Somebody on the inside made a nice tackle on Alex and brought him down immediately.
You know, fellas, we've seen this a number of times by Moline. We're out in open field. They're just going low and submarining us for the tackle.
Yep.
You know, I'm not a huge fan at this level to have a guy jump over somebody, but that's certainly there. We're seeing this a number of times in the perimeter where we could just kind of hurdle and go over him.
Gain of eight.
Tough to do, though.
Second and two at the 45. We'll be under 8 minutes after this play. Alex trying to get to the outside. Boom. Some pressure in the backfield, and he slipped out of it, got the first down, and a couple more at the end of the play. That looked for all the world like it was going to be a loss of a couple. And Alex turned it into a first down up to the 49.
Hey, we're under 8 minutes now, and this is gut check time. You know, these guys, they want this game or not, and it's time to go out there, put together a nice drive, and put points on the board and take the lead here.
Egyptiaco approaching 100 yards for the night. He's up to 89.
In the game comes Damian Thomas, Kyron Leith in the ball game.
Double tight wishbone.
Handoff. Streaks cross the 50. Oh, this pile is still moving forward. And now the officials blow it dead and a mass of players. Where's the forward progress finally going in? Now the officials getting in there, clearing some players out of the way. And one of the officials getting into Moline's Antonio Richmond's jersey and just pushing him all the way out of there.
A little extracurricular there between Kyron and him.
Yep.
So up to the 47. Kyron gains four.
Running Veer to the left in the most recent play.
Second and six streaks. 6:50 to play in the game. Legate rolling right. Dumps it off underneath and thrown behind Aaron Carl, who slips and can't get a hand on it. Incomplete. Very quickly, third down now at the Moline 47.
Yeah, nice play action again. The play was there. He threw the ball behind him, low and behind him.
Had a big white jersey in his face that definitely made an impact on the accuracy of that throw. Big third down here for streaks. I mean, it's not do or die here, but certainly seems like this would be extremely important to keep this drive going.
Davina comes out. One tight end is Aaron Carl. Back to pass. Now Legate flushed out of the pocket. Rolling left. He'll throw it downfield and tried to find a man, Dre Egyptiaku, and he overthrew him on the far side.
Penalty flag down as well.
Holding on the streaks. Well, if you're Moline.
All right, what do you do?
Accept it.
Yeah, I think so too.
Fourth and seven.
He's going to decline the penalty, I think. Well, I think we sent, you know, we sent our punting unit out there, so that kind of makes it easy for the Moline.
They do, wave it off. Silver Streaks in the second half, 1-for-6 on third downs. In fact, since opening the game, 3-for-4 on third downs in the first quarter, Galesburg is just 1-of-9 for the rest of the game. Trailing by 3. 6:39 to play in the game. Good snap to Davina. Gets a high spinning kick.
Nobody down
for Moline downfield. Okay. It rolls sideways at the 13-yard line. And the streaks down it at the 15 with Aaron Carl scooping it up. So they pin Moline a little bit deep here. And the defense needs to rise to the occasion yet again. They've got a little momentum going defensively on the last couple of possessions for Moline. Got a turnover. Couldn't turn it into any points. Got another big defensive stop. They need one here. Still a lot of time left in the game, but they got to make a stop. They can't allow Moline to put together any kind of a drive here, which they have prevented the Maroons from doing up to this point through the game. 27-24, the Moline lead. 6.5 minutes to play. Ponder remains in at quarterback. And the streak's creeping up from the left. The pass goes to the opposite side, and they read it well. Fuller, nowhere to go. Hunter Davina throws him down at the end of the play, and that goes for a loss on first down. Back to the 13.
That's a good start. Get him behind the sticks a little bit here. Yep. I'd really like to see, you know, I'm sure they've been trying to dial this up all night, trying to find ways to pressure the quarterback.
Since Riley Fuller on his first carry in the second half, he gained 6. Since that time, he's carried the ball 6 times for 3 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Second and 12. Out of the gun. Ponder. Pass fake. Deflected again at the line of scrimmage. The streaks have mad penetration a number of times. Knocked it down again. Third down.
That was either Jordan Payne or Hunter Davina again with a tip there. We've had a few of those at the line of scrimmage. Exactly what we need to have. Now, here we are again. Third and 13 to go, third and 12. A good position for our defense to get the ball back. Nice field position. Let's make a nice stand here.
Moline, 2-for-3 on third downs in the second half. For the game, 5-for-9. Third and 12 from the 13-yard line of the Moline Maroons, rolling right. Ponder on the run, has a man open on the far side. He slipped and fell, and I think Bailey was able to bring it in anyway for the completion and the first down, a yard past the marker.
It's just, you got to pick your poison with that kid in terms of coverage. He's proven to be able to beat us deep. That soft coverage is going to allow that 10-yard route to be thrown.
Yeah, and I think there's something, too, on our blitz that we had where the blitzing backer went inside him. Yep. We had no contain.
He got washed down.
And he was able to run out.
Yep. Well, and, fellas, that was just an all-conference catch right there, too, because he slipped.
Yeah.
The turfs, I think, we've seen a few players slip out there, and he still was able to haul that catch in for the first down.
So now Molina play the clock game a little bit.
Ponder on the far side of the field. Ooh, deflected, knocked out of bounds. Second and 10. So big, big, big third down for the Moline Maroons, but that stops the clock on the incompletion. 5:15 to go. I'm not convinced, guys, that Ponder is still
He hasn't 100%. Been the same.
No, he hasn't been as mobile. On that rollout, that's the most we've seen him move on that rollout and the completion to Bailey. And even then, the ball wasn't thrown.
Right, it wasn't a good throw.
Completely accurately. Second and 10 from the 26. Steps back, throws,
oh,
incomplete
my goodness.
Again. Through the hands of the intended receiver and off a Silver Streaks defender on the far side. That ball was thrown hard.
Yeah.
And I think it completely caught Cam off guard, or Xavier Coleman off guard.
Yeah, he threw a dart, and it went through the receiver's hands. Right. And so
did it hit him in his face?
It hit him right in the face mask. Yep. Tough place to have it hit you.
So since Aaron Carl got the hit on Ponder in the back, he's missed five out of his six passes. But the one that he completed was a big first down on a third down conversion. Another third and long here, third and 10 from the 26. Out of the gun. Ponder dropping back.
Screen.
The pressure's on. They get a hand on him. Gets the pass away. Complete to Bailey. And now it's a pursuit game. Close to the first down. He's got the first down up to the 38-yard line. It ended up basically as a screenplay when it was all said and done. And Bailey turned a huge loss into a major gain and a first down up to the 38.
You want to talk about an all-conference play? There was.
Just find your guy and let him do the work.
And to get out of the grasp for Ponder. I mean, that was just great on both ends.
Just enough to float the ball out there in a location where he thought his guy was, because he kind of spun around and just threw it up.
This will allow him to take more time off the clock as we roll under 5 minutes to play
and
a 27-24 lead.
You'll see Moline switch offenses here, and that's when you see Bailey behind center.
Into the wing tee. They come set. Bailey with a handoff. Rolling left. Well, this is where
the
Silver Streaks excel on the run defense. And the first handoff of the game to Christian Rea goes as a loss.
Cam McGuire made a nice defensive stop there. Nice play.
Yeah, Moline smartly knowing they couldn't do this all night long against the Silver Streaks. But they are going to be able to run some clock doing this, and certainly I was watching Bailey there. He fake bootleg out of that same run play, and that would be dangerous. The Streaks, hopefully defensively,
was he covered?
He was covered that time.
Second and 11.
Backside, what we'd call on that would be BCR.
Yeah,
boot cannon reverse. Yeah, he was covered
again out of that wing tee. Pressure in the backfield, and the Streaks make a hit and an immediate stop. First guy there, Jeremiah Morris, had a big play earlier. There's another one, and now the Streaks burn a timeout. Their first of the second half with 3:40 to go in the game after a loss of two. It'll be third and 13.
Nice.
And the Streaks use a timeout to stop the clock.
Nice tandem tackle there. Jeremiah was in there, yes. So was Reed Hawkins to make the play.
Now, I would postulate here that after the timeout, you're going to see Ponder back in the ball game.
I was thinking the exact same thing.
Right. I mean, it's why wouldn't you, right? This is what Moline does. This is how they've competed, and they have put points on the board every week, and they certainly are doing it again this week. So, you're going to see Ponder back in the ball game. The Streaks are going to obviously need to recognize that and hopefully get off the field time on third down.
Jake Moline ran belly on that play. I don't know if you saw the quarterback reverse out.
Yeah, they
guard
tried.
Pulled.
It didn't.
Didn't work.
Yeah, it didn't look very good. But, yes, that was the offensive play they were trying to do.
Moline has 3 yards of offense on the ground in the second half. But through the air, 131, 356 for the game. They have two third and long conversions on this drive alone, facing third and 13 here with Ponder back in at quarterback. And you know who he's going to look for. The short drop, throws it long, downfield for Bailey. It's caught and then batted loose at the end as he tried to haul it in at the Galesburg 35 in double coverage, and he couldn't bring it in. But he was there, and the throw had a chance, but it falls incomplete.
Yep, we'll take it. I think that was a drop, but we certainly had guys there and making that catch difficult. So the Streaks finally make their way off the field on fourth down with a chance to go in and get the go-ahead score.
3:34 to play in the game with Galesburg down three. And still the ball, despite that long possession, Moline's longest possession of the game, still punting it away from their 35, and the ball bounces at the Galesburg 42 and then rolls deeper into territory where Moline downs it at the 36. 3:25 to go in the game, and the Streaks with a chance to drive it downfield, take the lead for the win.
Couldn't ask for anything more.
Nope, home stands over here. We are excited. We have a little roar coming off as we put our offense back out there. Nice opportunity here for the Streaks to go down and put up some points and take the lead.
Tough position for the sophomore quarterback, Tristan Legate, to be in. But a chance for the Streaks to win it, rolling right on first down. Now Legate steps up, now rolls out again, trying to escape a lot of pressure, throws it away, sideline, man there, contact right at the play with the intended receiver, Boffman, and it falls incomplete. Boy, that was really close.
Looked early.
It sure did. Antonio Richmond on the defense. No flag, though.
Nope.
Second down. Sean's looking at the replay. He'll tell us.
I mean, it was close. It's
going to take some time. I have to run it forward because that play took a while.
Meanwhile, second and 10.
Film didn't catch it.
Rolling to the outside. Screen. Alex, in fact, back to the near side to Dre. Yep. A nice little screen in the middle. Dre trying to find some room to run, and Moline
Fumble.
Covered it up well. The Fumble. Ball pops free at the end. Moline saying that they have it recovered
yep.
in Galesburg territory, and it's official. A turnover by the Streaks, and Moline gets it back at the Galesburg 45-yard line. 3:04 to play in the game, and a Moline player down, and a teammate calling the sideline over to take a look at him.
Again, another one of those you can't fault this. This was just trying to make a play and continue on, and the ball got a little loose in there. Got punched away.
Third turnover of the game for the Silver Streaks. And the player down for Moline, I think, is Donovan Tussaud. And he's down at the 40-yard line. Moline will have it at the Galesburg 44 with 3:04 to play in the game. And the Streaks will have to use some timeouts to draw this game out as much as possible, still down three. It's not over yet, but
right.
The Streaks need some help.
Streaks with two timeouts, right? Two
yep.
timeouts,
yep.
And you'll probably see Bailey back under center, I'm assuming, at least for the first couple of plays. That's shown to be, at least so far tonight, not very successful for Moline. So, you know, the Streaks can certainly use two of their timeouts, forcing them hopefully into a real quick third down that we can get off the field on. But then they're going to have to drive the length of the field as the field, you know, position battle has now been flipped in Moline's favor.
I like the play call there that the Streaks had.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And I give Moline a lot of credit. They read it well. They responded to it well. Dre was working pretty hard. And they're actually going to carry Tussaud off the field.
Yeah, they've been checking on his knee.
I mean, both legs. They're yeah. completely carrying him
right.
off the field. All right, so Moline comes out. First down at the Galesburg 44-yard line. Streaks needing a quick stop.
Need the ball back.
And as anticipated, Bailey back in under center. In the running formation. Hand off left. Well, the Streaks still need to make stops, and that's a pretty good gain on first down to the 41-yard line, and Galesburg uses its second timeout on a gain of five by Fuller.
So, the script I mentioned was...
Sorry, gain of three.
Yep. Good here.
Did we lose you, Jake?
Am I here?
Oh, you're
yeah,
there.
You got me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I cut out. I was just mentioning, yeah, I mean, the script we talked about there is the Streaks were able to stop them for a short gain here on first down and hopefully able to do it again. You'll see, I'm assuming you'll see Bailey underneath here again.
That was a belly play again, Jake.
Yes.
Sterling leads Rock Island 19-6. About halfway through the fourth quarter in that game.
That being the marquee game in the Big Six tonight.
For sure. Closer than I thought it was going to be.
Me too. Sterling only given up 13 points coming into
yeah.
tonight all year long.
UT over Alleman, 33-7 late in the fourth quarter there. Streaks jump at the line of scrimmage. And the flag comes down.
Yeah, I think that's going to be on us.
Yep, yep. Offsides. So it goes from second and seven to second and two now. Down to the Galesburg 36-yard line, coming out of that timeout with 2:57 to go in the game. Third penalty of the night against the Streaks for 23 yards. Second and closer to three for Moline here. They'll split Blake Wiley out to the right. He's been the favorite target in the second half, other than Bailey, who's under center right now. With the two tight ends set of the wing tee. Hand off to the right, Fuller. Cut back. Looks like he's got the first down across the 35, close to the 33 before his forward progress is stopped and pushed backwards. Had to get to the 34 for the first down.
So now the math starts to not look very good.
And there they do move the chains.
Here for the Silver Streaks.
Yeah, it's really tough now.
You know, one timeout left to stop the ball. You know, it's... You start doing the math, and at best, you know, the Streaks look to be getting the football back here now, probably under 60 seconds left with the length of the field. Really a turnover, the Streaks' best hope.
Yep, we talked about this before, where you want to have the first person in tackle to hold the guy up and the second guy to come and try to strip the ball.
But the first guy's got to make the stop, and again, movement at the line. Again, movement at the line.
It's going to be on offense.
And there's the false start signal. So move him back five.
That was a receiver down here, Jake.
Yep, 17. That used to always drive us nuts, right, with our receivers jumping off sides there.
Just watching the ball.
All they got to do is watch it. They're completely...
Hear nothing out there.
Right. They're as far away from the play as humanly possible. They know they're not getting the football. No reason to jump.
2:13 and counting. Streaks down three, needing the ball back. Just force a turnover and run it back for a pick six. Something
just
that
like
easy. That. Just scoop it up and go. Nothing to it. Bailey will take as much time off as possible. The snap made with a minute 50 to go in the game. Hand off left. Fuller trips. Now yep. Rolled down. Nice, good, strong tackle by Hunter Davina. Streaks use their final timeout with the ball at the 37. Minute 46 to play.
Javion Beckham was in a play, too. Came up hard. That's what we need in this situation. I mean, not normally you don't want a free safety playing that strong, but we know they're running the ball. So here we are. Last timeout used by the Silver Streaks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and just, you know, looking at the clock, guys, you know, they're going to run this play. If the Streaks can get a good stop, you're looking at not having to snap the third down play until right at about the minute mark or below. You're starting to run out of options here of how things can go for the Silver Streaks, minus the possibility of a strip sack or some sort of strip scoop and score.
Second week in a row, the turnovers have really hurt the Silver Streaks. They've gotten some turnovers. They've turned those Moline turnovers into only 3 points, and it's
movement again.
Losing the opportunity to score for the Silver Streaks that's been most damaging by those turnovers, especially one down at inside the 10-yard line. And another 5-yarder against Moline will push him back. Fifth penalty of the night for 25 yards. Again, for the most part, been a cleanly played game. So second and 18 now with a minute 46 to go. Bailey, handoff right. Pressure in the backfield. He did keep it. And the Streaks still with pressure in the backfield. And Bailey scrambles back to the 44 to make it a loss of just a couple, which it could have been a lot more, but the clock rolls.
Now on this third and long, I would probably be very surprised if Ponder came into the ball
game. Yeah, me too.
I still think they'll run the football here and just run this thing down. It will be under a minute before they have to do anything here on third down.
It's third and 20 as we approach the 110 mark.
That's Jeremiah Morris who came in and blew that play up.
Jeremiah's made some big plays tonight defensively. Ball sitting inside the Galesburg 44-yard line, 56 seconds. And the clock stops as Moline calls a timeout to avoid the delay of game penalty. So they're going to run it on third down here. And the Streaks are going to have, assuming that they stop this play, we'll have next to no time.
Yep. In the teens.
Yep. See Ponder on the far side. He just got a handshake from somebody on the sideline. He's still walking gingerly. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure as the night cools off, that injury to the back from that hit he took from Aaron Carl, I'm sure, is stiffening up a little bit. So coming out of the Moline timeout, 56 seconds to go. Third and a long 20 for the Maroons at the Galesburg 44-yard line, leading by three. 27-24. Bailey under center. Comes set. Fake handoff right. He'll keep it, and he just dives forward and falls down to the 42 to let the clock roll. And the Streaks are going to be somewhere in the vicinity. Well, by the time they punt this away, it'll be under 10 seconds.
I doubt they punt it, to be honest.
Well,
I mean,
there's
we'll
that
see.
Too.
Take the ball and run backward.
Yeah.
Yep.
Make sure you run the clock out. You don't want to get sacked at the 20-yard line with 2 seconds left.
So I'm not sure when the ball came set.
Yeah, he.
But if they punt it,
he went down at about 50. But yeah, when did they set the ball? We're mm-hmm. down to 15 now. And with the Streaks out of timeouts, just not
it's
much they
the
can do.
Did they not blow
What's
it in?
On?
We're waiting for.
Wow.
What?
Wow. I'm speechless.
What just happened?
I'm speechless.
They let the ball
they
run all the way out.
50
just,
seconds to
yeah.
go when that ball was.
Now the referee what? Is now. Now the referee is blowing the whistle. They can. Yeah, they. That is way too much what? Time. I mean, everybody's standing out there waiting to blow the whistle so because Moline doesn't want to get called for a delay of game, and now the officials are going to huddle up. They let that clock run all the way out, and now they're going to huddle up.
So now they're going to make up some time. They're going to give the Streaks some time.
Well.
But they're just going to make it up because they had no idea when to set the
yeah,
football.
Clearly. Well, we've seen. Well, they put 10 seconds on the clock.
But is that just our guys putting
that,
it?
Yeah, that's, did that.
That's what I'm thinking.
That's what we think it should be?
We haven't seen anything from the referee, from the officiating crew.
We're hearing them say 6 seconds, and I still don't think that's right either.
No, I don't either.
The back judge was just looking around, and then he started counting real fast because he thought he was supposed to.
With under 5 seconds.
And as frustrated as the Streaks were, Moline, I think, was just as surprised to watch that
right.
clock roll
Absolutely.
All the way down. And then they thought, all right, and they started running off celebrating, thinking nobody saw that coming.
So they don't have an idea when to set it. They're going to guess
nope.
and give them some time. And they're kind of just freewheeling right now with – you can kind of see it in their body language out there. I don't know what to do.
Totally discombobulated at the end of this game here by these officials.
So 6 seconds is what's showing on the scoreboard.
Now we get a penalty. Delay of game. Okay, so they're going to call a delay of game on the offense.
So that'll push it back to the
48. Which isn't fair to them because they would have called a timeout or snapped a play
right.
had they seen
right.
the guy count on time. So this isn't fair to them either.
Oh, goodness. We've seen some interesting things the last couple of weeks.
Yes, we have. On punts.
Correct.
Now, here's the deal. If they do punt, and I'm still racking my head for when a return has occurred, and there hasn't been one. Rakeen, if he's the deep guy, as he's normally the deep guy for the Silver Streaks, he has to return this ball.
Yeah.
I don't care where yep. it's kicked. He's got to return this ball if it's in play. Because that is, at this point, if they're going to give them 6 seconds.
They waved off the
flag. Now they're waving off the flag.
Now they're waving off the flag.
Well, that's true. Like, Jake, what you said, if they would have known, they would have called timeout.
They would have called timeout.
Correct.
Right. And that's what they're calling is timeout, Moline. Okay.
The end of this game, the last 50 seconds of this game has now taken 6 minutes. And we have not had a play in those 6 minutes.
Yeah.
So 6 seconds is what's showing on the clock. Silver Streak's down 27-24. And, yeah, if Moline is going to punt this ball as opposed to just snap it and then just run and just try to run out the final 6 seconds.
Yeah, I'd just get the ball to Bailey and let him run around. I wouldn't even chance any kind of a kick.
I mean, you could go directional and try to, you know, kick it high enough into the air, out of bounds, toward the sideline.
He obviously could even take a safety here. And it's still,
that's
if he
true.
Can run around, take a safety, and they win. And that looks like they're not going to line up to punt. They're going to shotgun it to Bailey, and then you're going to see a scramble for about 6 seconds.
So out of the gun, the snap to Bailey, and he's going to run straight forward. I thought he'd run backwards, and the Streaks need to get him down, and they blow the whistle with 0.2 seconds on the clock.
All right, so Galesburg will get one
play.
You got
a chance.
I don't know why he didn't run backward. Like you said,
I thought the same thing.
Take the safety.
I mean, surely you can run 50 yards back the other direction.
Yeah.
And take 6 seconds off the clock.
You know, a sprinted 40 takes 4 seconds, four and a half seconds. So, yeah, you just start doing that math. He has a head start. But, hey, listen, this is as good as we could ask for here as the Streaks to get a chance. I'm sure the coaches have something drawn up here. This could be history.
So the snap, the sideline, the toss on the lateral to Alex, and he's surrounded, and he's got to do something to get it away to somebody, and he did get the ball away because there's some movement, and it goes nowhere. So the Streaks tried as crazy of a play as they could come up with, and it ended up losing yardage. So the play and the game come to an end with the Silver Streaks falling 27-24. Moline's first win of the season, and the Streaks fall to 2-2. Postgame coming up from Van Dyke Field up next on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Silver Streaks football on WGIL is brought to you in part by the UPS store on the corner of Main and Seminary in beautiful downtown Galesburg, and by Bradley Hicks, Century 21 affiliated. Morning, noon, nights, or weekends, Bradley Hicks will help you find your dream home.
It's Michelle and Patsy from Bates Collision Center. Storms really bother you, don't they? Since I was a kid, we're part of the team that helps put people's lives back together after the storm. If your vehicle sustains damage too, that's where Bates Collision Center can help.
We can set up towing in a rental car and work with your insurance company to get your car back to you as quickly as possible with a factory perfect repair guaranteed.
That means you can focus your energy on more important things like getting your life back to normal.
Bates Collision Center. We take the decision out of collision.
Silver Streaks football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Yam Auto Group on North Henderson and Galesburg, home to Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, and Ram. Say yes to Yam. By First United Methodist Church in downtown Galesburg. By Courtright Construction of Oneida, the right choice for your next project. By Bates Collision Center in Galesburg, we take the decision out of collision. By Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating in Galesburg, you deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill. By Galesburg Nissan on North Henderson Street, home of the lifetime warranty. Silver Streaks football is also brought to you by RP Lumber. Best service, best value. By Watson Thomas Funeral Home and Crematory in Galesburg, celebrating life's legacy. By Dave's Auto Body in Galesburg, you better call Dave's. And by Kehoe Eye Care. They care for people, not just eyes. Proud to bring you GHS Silver Streaks football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
The official WGIL forecast is brought to you by Justin Cook State Farm, providing great insurance rates on bundled auto, home, and life policies. Call for the right policy and save money. Showers likely after midnight, overnight low 47. Showers tomorrow, slight chance of a thunderstorm, high of 55. More rain tomorrow night, overnight low 44. And Sunday, mostly sunny with a high of 63. In downtown Galesburg, it is 51 at WGIL.
The with the final stats, the Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game, and comments from Streaks head coach Mike Washabaugh. WGIL's coverage of Galesburg High School football continues with the Silver Streaks postgame show. Brought to you by Watson Thomas Funeral Home and Crematory in Galesburg. Celebrating life's legacy. Silver Streaks football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Galesburg Sports.
Last week's loss to Rock Island on the road was tough. This one's tougher at home to Moline, 27-24, as the Streaks dropped to 2-2. Our postgame coaches interview brought to you by RP Lumber. Best service, best value. Jake Miller is down on the sidelines with head coach Mike Washabaugh.
Coach Washabaugh, a couple stories, I guess, to talk about here in the second half. Mirrored the first. We trade touchdowns there in the third quarter, and then things kind of settled in, and both defenses doing their thing. Offensively tonight, it seemed like we can move the ball at will at times, and then other stretches we go out there and it was a completely different story. Did Moline do things differently that we weren't expecting tonight to cause that kind of just lack of rhythm, I think, offensively?
Yeah, I mean, the fumbles, don't help with any of that. I mean, it just throws you out of, series. And, there are some drops. That's something that's been an issue throughout the year. But those are, so when you talk about three and outs or, keeping drives alive or getting scores, like, you got to catch the ball if we're going to be a throwing team and running. And then, we just can't put the ball on the ground. I mean, the difference in the game is us scoring on the four right there. Go back to last week, we lose. It would have been a 28-28 game if we don't put the ball on the ground at four. Like, that's clearly an issue that we need to fix in practice.
Yeah, the other thing is we were talking, I was just showing you a little off air. Obviously, the discrepancy of the run game tonight. I know Moline basically abandoned it when they did get into the wing tee. It was extremely unsuccessful. We have them for 47 yards rushing in the entire game. Unfortunately, 356 yard passing. Ponder and Bailey were as I know you guys were concerned. Those guys were definitely as advertised tonight.
Yeah, I mean, that was the 21 points, I believe, in the first half. And it was 27-21 game or 27-point total game. So they scored one score not on those, shot plays that hurt us in the first half. Once they settled in, but we can't spot people points. That was our second goal of the week, was not to give up 30-yard-plus plays and win the shot battle. And, they clearly won that.
Yeah, offensively, it just seemed, going back to that, there were a couple of chances, a couple of opportunities that unfortunately we let go. The turnover battle for the Streaks tonight, I think we were even on the turnover battle. Unfortunately, we only turned it into 3 points where Moline was able to capitalize that on a little bit better in their case.
Can't fumble inside the 10. I mean, that's what's killed us the last 2 weeks, and we got to be able to overcome that.
Okay, Coach, I appreciate you talking with me. Thank you.
Yep, thank you.
Our thanks, as always, to head coach Mike Washabaugh stopping by in the post game. We'll take a break, come back, take a look at our post game statistics, give you our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game as well. 27-24, Moline wins it. You're listening to Silver Streaks post game coverage on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Galesburg High School football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Tom Irons at Accounting Systems on South Simmons Street in downtown Galesburg, and by Templeton Roofing. Call Templeton Roofing when your roof matters. Learn more at templetonroofing.com.
When you have your crash repaired at Dave's Auto Body, you may qualify for Detail for Life. We will detail your car for free 4 times per year for as long as you own your car. So if you would like us to help take the sting out of an accident,
you better call Dave's.
Don't let getting your hands on building materials be the thing that keeps you from landing that next big job. RP Lumber has the hardware, tools, and building materials to help you knock out one project after another. Find your nearest location at rplumber.com. RP Lumber, we keep you building.
I'm Pastor Vince Rohn of First United Methodist Church in Galesburg, where we believe in making room for everybody. We do that in person at 120 North Kellogg Street, where we have 2 different Sunday morning services, classes for all ages, children and youth ministry, every week in safe ways. We also do that at firstumcgalesburg.org with worship services and other online opportunities to connect with God and others. Whoever you are, join us on Sunday mornings at 9 or at 10:30 or anytime at firstumcgalesburg.org.
News, talk, sports on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
27-24, Moline defeats the Galesburg Silver Streaks. Galesburg drops to 2-2 on the season. Let's go ahead and go with our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game now, because we've had a chance to talk it over and reached a pretty quick consensus. Tough to do when the last 11 minutes of the game is an opportunity for a crunch time at any juncture, and it never materialized. But there was a play that happened right before that 11-minute mark that certainly kept the streaks in the game. And, Sean, I think you encapsulated it the best as we talked it over there. So it was a 3-0 vote on this one.
Absolutely. I mean, we had a play where they took a shot downfield for a big yardage play, and it was a play where the quarterback got injured. All right, came out for one play. They ran the ball.
That was on Aaron Carl with the block, the hit, or the back, the tackle. Yep.
And during an injury, we had a penalty on the sideline. If we recall, we had an unsportsmanlike that had occurred. So they moved the ball down. So it went from
to the 13.
Yep, it went from the Moline 45 down to our 13-yard line. So they ran one play, and they had another injury.
Gain two, yep.
During that time, Ponder came back. And we came back in the game, and it was a time that we were thinking, well, here's an opportunity for the streaks with their quarterback out. He threw for 300-plus yards. Comes back in the game and throws one to his battery mate, if we will. You know, that's more of a pitcher-catcher term. But he went to Bailey multiple times tonight in the end zone. Bailey went in, the throw went out. And there was Raheem Speaks for the interception, which put us in position where we got the ball back. We had some momentum, an opportunity for us to go down and take the lead, but it just did not materialize. But, you know, my vote, and I think the three of us were in agreement. Jake, what would you say?
I agree. Sorry. I am
Did I talk too much?
You did fine. No,
that was very well said.
I am out of breath walking up the steps, so I wanted to catch my breath, so I'm glad you took it that time, Sean.
Well, and let's face it, I mean, as much as anything else really didn't materialize the rest of the way, even down to the final 0.2 seconds
right.
of the game, if Raheem doesn't intercept the ball in the end zone,
right. none of that matters. Yep.
Right.
I agree.
Well, we had other big plays throughout the game. I mean, we had
certainly
the kickoff return for a touchdown in that part. We had Hunter Davina with an interception where the guy threw the ball like right to him. We had a number of deflections at the line of scrimmage by our defense as well. A lot of big plays that took place tonight. But I think at that time in the game, there's nothing bigger than the interception by Raheem Speaks.
Those darn turnovers.
Coach Walsh, you know, talked tonight that, you know, the things that mattered tonight were our turnovers,
yep.
Mostly our fumbles. And at the times that, you know, a turnover isn't created equal. Right, it's when they occur, mm-hmm. and then what happens after the turnover. And our turnovers were worse, and our drops. He talked about it. Our drops.
Absolutely.
If we're going to be a throw team, we got to catch football, and if we're going to be a running team, because we can't just be a running team. So it's extremely important to do that. He mentioned that tonight. He was as frustrated as I've seen him this year, and I certainly understand why. So as these coaches though continue to preach, they'll get them back together. They'll give them 24 hours to lament. And then they'll get going on UT.
Yep. We'll go through our final statistics. Again, Raheem Speaks, our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game. Final numbers and final thoughts from Van Dyke Field when we come back on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Today, with pictures and video and our ability to collaborate with the family.
Someone's final goodbye can literally be anything they want it to be.
Mark and Tricia Thomas of Watson Thomas Funeral Home and Crematory in Galesburg.
Whether it's Harley Davidson, the St. Louis Cardinals,
fishing, quilting, singing, or family, we want to find out what your loved one loved.
And then we can create a personalized farewell that really celebrates their unique and wonderful life.
Watson Thomas Funeral Home and Crematory in Galesburg, celebrating life's legacy.
No matter what your day has in store, life with a Chevy from Yem is just better. It's a beautiful spring day with Jesse J at Yem Chevrolet. Come on out and test drive the new 2021 Chevy Trailblazer and turn the middle of nowhere into somewhere, starting at less than $25,500. Or choose 0 for 72 plus rebates. Or a new 2021 Chevy Traverse. Choose over $7,500 in savings. Or 0 for 72 plus rebates. Find out why life with a Chevy is just better at Yem, North Henderson, Galesburg.
Tune in for Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins. Weekdays at 2 on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Postgame statistics brought to you by Kehoe Eye Care. They care for people, not just eyes. Jake alluded to it in his question to Coach Mike Washabaugh about the Silver Streaks run defense. Does the job statistically again here tonight? Riley Fuller, the leading ball carrier, 20 carries for just 48 yards. Matthew Bailey, 4 carries, 0 yards. Aubrey Threat, 1 carry for 2. And Christian Ray, 1 carry for minus 1. But the real damage was done through the air for sure. Alec Ponder, 356 yards passing tonight and 4 touchdowns. Also threw 3 interceptions. But certainly it was the touchdowns that did the damage. Jaheim Thornton had a 21-yard catch for a touchdown, 7 receptions, 117 yards. Matthew Bailey, the guy we talked about coming into the game, the guy we needed to watch out for the most, and did the damage anyway. 7 receptions, 2 touchdowns, 141 yards. Cranston Wall had a 28-yard touchdown reception, 2 catches for 36 yards. Grant Sibley had a 4-yard reception. Blake Wiley came more of a target in the second half. He had 4 catches for 46 yards. Noah Harrison had a couple receptions early for 19 yards. For the Silver Streaks, Alex Udipsiako, 21 carries, 2 touchdowns, 89 yards tonight. Kyron Leith, 7 carries, 22 yards. Tristan Legate ran the ball 7 times for 18 yards. And Damian Thomas had 1 3-yard run tonight. Legate was 9 of 20 for 83 yards passing tonight. Cohen Derry had 3 catches for 30 yards. Dre Egyptiaco, 2 catches for 31. Kyron Leith had an 8-yard reception. Alex Egyptiaco caught 1 for 4. Aaron Carl had a 10-yard catch. And the Silver Streaks lose the most important statistic of the night on the scoreboard, 27-24, in a really tough one to swallow. And, fellas, next week's game, United Township, everybody said they're getting better. Watch out for them this year. And now they've won 2 in a row when we got to play them next week at their place. So we got to get our dander back up pretty quickly.
You know, it's Big Six football. Every week is going to be a struggle. I mean, every week is going to be a battle. You have to go out there, respect your opponent. You have to go out there and play every game. You have to prepare to win every week. And, you know, we talk about it 24 hours, guys. Flush your system of this. Get ready to go because your next quest is going to be United Township.
Yeah, I don't know if it's our place to say or not, but just to say that being down on the sideline tonight, I got the feeling of being flat from the get go, and the energy levels and some things that just seemed different. You know, I've been on the sideline now for 3 weeks with these guys, and something about tonight just didn't seem to add up, and I think it caught us a little bit. Now going into next week, I've watched some film already on UT, and their throw game is not as sophisticated as what we've just watched. And so hopefully matchup wise, things will bode well. They do want to run the football a whole lot more than mm-hmm. Moline does.
Yep.
And statistically, now for 4 weeks, it's proven that this could be something that is in our favor. So I hope it goes that way. I hope our guys get back on track and certainly finish this week. I know Coach Wash alluded in the pregame, they just want to go 1-0 every week. And that's a great approach to have. I hope our boys take that same approach and follow the cues of the coaching staff and get back on track.
Back on the road next week, fellas. We'll see you then. Have a good week. 27-24, the final. Moline wins it tonight. The only game here tonight at Van Dyke Field, no freshman game. For Will Stevenson at the downtown studios, for Jake Miller, for Sean Hickey, I'm Brad Benowitz. Good night from Van Dyke Field.
Thanks for listening to GHS Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL, Galesburg Sports.